Hello.
Hello.
You're late.
I'm sort of on time.
No, we were supposed to start 2 hours ago.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, look at the email.
Let me check the email.
It says EST 11:30. You say, sure.
Oh, that's the wrong direction. Sorry about that.
Extremely late. That's all right. I was,
so how was, so how was the on show? The pick.
What show? So, oh, you missed it. It was great. No, Micah interpreted it at 1:32. So he's on his way.
Okay. Hey, how did he interpret it wrong?
I don't know. I think he thought I put Mountain Time, but that's okay. MTN. But you guys don't understand EST?
I understand it. I just...
You're central. So
I couldn't remember if I was supposed to add one or subtract one.
So you took out two.
Oh, I forgot one.
No, 11:30?
I went one the opposite direction, so that was...
Oh, that's right. Difference of two. I see. You're in the central time zone.
I added one instead of subtracted one.
Mm. Don't most people deal on East Coast time with you anyway? Just on a nominal basis, or is that not true? Like at work and stuff?
No.
You're all in the central time zone?
Central or Europe and India. So we base it off of...
Off of the sun. You have a sundial, Bill?
Use a sundial. I don't know. India, you add or subtract like 13 hours or something.
Use the sundial. Don't you have to sacrifice something on a rock to use the sundial? For it to work right.
You don't have to, but it adds to the experience. Makes it more meaningful.
So what gig brunch number are we on? 187?
Or it. This is. Welcome to Geek Brunch episode
187.
You're correct.
I like how you keep tabs on that. It's like you have it down.
I know.
There's no pause or anything. It's
smooth.
It's really a cool transition.
It's called building up the.
You build up suspense.
That's right.
In our episode number.
Everyone's like wondering, what is it? What could it be?
Could it be? So what are you drinking?
I'm not drinking anything.
You were sipping on something earlier.
No. Dr. Pepper.
Oh. Dr. Pepper 10?
Nope. Dr. Pepper 100%. Oh. Standard Dr. Pepper.
You're drinking the sugar.
Sugar water. Yeah, why not? What's in 10? Some kind of chemicals? Why do I want to drink chemicals that taste sweet?
I don't know.
Fake my brain into thinking they're sweet when they're really just chemicals.
It says authentic flavors. 6.3 authentic flavors.
3 authentic flavors. Wait, what? 3 authentic flavors?
23.
Oh, 20. Is that right?
23 authentic flavors.
Does it list the flavors?
No, I don't even want to get in there.
Can you pick out the flavors? This pepper, peppery, caramel notes.
High fructose corn syrup. Oh, Micah hates corn syrup, doesn't he? Isn't that the thing that like that Micah goes off on?
I don't know. One of the things.
Aspartame.
Well, the problem with high fructose corn syrup is it's in everything, so you're getting a lot more sugar than you intend on getting.
I'm only getting 10 calories.
Right, because you get chemicals.
That's okay. That they preserve dead people with those.
That's right.
You're just embalming yourself a little early.
Really?
I'm just preparing for the apocalypse.
I don't know. Just ask Barb what's in that stuff. Does she drink that stuff?
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
I don't know. I keep forgetting that I'm talking to people that care about what goes in their bodies.
I have to adjust between this show and DC Noise. It's like, it's a 180.
Well, Keithy's healthy. He just doesn't drink healthy.
Well, he's healthy half the time. Well, he does it the right way, which is eat healthy and then splurge when you want to.
Which is every day. Which
is every day ending in a Y.
One meal with Michelle that's healthy. And then the other stuff, the other four meals that he has, which are not so healthy.
Sorry, for every meal, you need to eat a healthy version of it and then an unhealthy version of it.
Yeah, Mike is going to be a little late because he's stuck in traffic.
Mm.
He said he had to go put gas and the people are really slow.
He went out to get gas?
Yeah. Need to put some gas in this car so he can get to work tomorrow.
Can he get gas on the way to work?
Maybe it's traffic. I don't know. Maybe it's better to do it in Sunday afternoon. Maybe he's planning for a post-apocalyptic event.
He's loading up on gas. The back of his car is just like full of gas tanks right now.
Yeah.
For his generator back home. He's ready. That's smart. He's thinking ahead.
How are you preparing?
I don't know. I'm thinking about preparing.
There's not going to be healthy stuff to eat when the apocalypse happens.
Depends what kind of apocalypse it is.
It depends on...
and where you are. Because if it does...
I lost you there.
I'm back. I muted myself. I hate this headphones. I gotta get some new headphones.
How do you like be talking midstream and then mute yourself? Do your arms like flail? Like you have to like do you have to like wave your arms back and forth to talk?
Well, we are talking about the apocalypse. I get very excited when I talk about the apocalypse. My arms are very animated. Oh, we're talking about apocalypse survival techniques.
Where is the mute button?
It's on
the cord.
The cord coming from the headphones, yeah.
Yeah, but how do you touch the cord?
Well, because it's like hanging by my side, so my arm swings past it and bumps the button.
Oh, so you do start flailing. Are you one of those people that has to talk with their hands?
Depends what I'm talking about.
Oh.
The apocalypse? Yes. How could I not?
Well, what were you going to say? It depends what...
Oh, yeah, so it depends, like, what kind of apocalypse it is. Because if I can still grow stuff in my garden, then I'll be okay, at least till winter.
There's no sun.
There's no sun?
Yeah, so you have
Then we're all frozen, so...
You have to eat corn syrup. I mean, that's cans of corn syrup and aspartame.
Put your blankets on and drink your aspartame and hope it...
Yeah. Through the winter. Calcium, aspartame, sodium, benzoate.
Benzoate. Is that one of the flavors?
Yeah. So what are you going to do when that happens?
If the sun goes away, we're all frozen and dead, so it doesn't matter.
Your system won't even know how to handle the corn syrup. It'll be like, ah! Whereas I'll be able to adapt.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I have corn syrup in my body, just not aspartame.
This post-apocalyptic takes out all of the fish. I've seen it happen in Under the Dome. It took out the fish.
I haven't watched that show yet. I have it on my TiVo, though.
The fish is gone.
All the fish are gone. Well, it wouldn't matter to me because I'm not near any ocean, so.
Cows are still around.
They have a limited number of cows,
right? You'd have some canned fish, but you'd have to fight for it.
Oh, I'd fight for it, all right. Give me that tube of fish. You bastard. I'm prepared. I got a baseball bat.
You do? But you don't play baseball. What is it? One of those Nerf baseball bats? That's not going to do any good, Bill.
Well, I got my baseball bat from when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't even know what baseball was. Are you sure it's not a football?
Oh, wait. It might be a cricket bat.
It might be an oar that you used to row.
It's flat on the end, right? That's a baseball bat?
Yeah, you don't have any water, so you have to use it for something else.
I've seen oars used as weapons in movies before.
Yeah.
You sharpen the edge of that?
It's a stake.
It's a nice weapon.
To hold off the vampires.
No, I mean just like the edges of it, like sharpen the two sides of the blade.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got a nice, that's probably called something in Dungeons and Dragon terms.
It's called rolling an eight.
Sheath of some sort.
That's, you have to roll an eight.
You roll an eight and chop it, disembody him with your oar. Or to the midsection. So how are things with you? Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
The big 5-0.
You've aged me about 6 years, but but that puts me closer to retirement. So.
there are benefits to being old. That much closer to a life of reading comics all day.
That's right. There's nothing like reading comics on the deck, I tell you, and listening to chickens.
Chicken? Oh, neighbor chickens?
Yeah. You don't eat chicken, do you?
Not till the apocalypse.
Do you eat eggs?
Yeah, I eat eggs. Mm. Oh, I'd have to definitely get some chickens before the apocalypse, then, so I could have eggs.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. That's a good tip for everyone. Get chickens now, before it's too late.
Yep. That's prepare. But then you might not be able to land if the land is contaminated and you have to live in the air like in Wild Blue Yonder. You have to have the chickens in a floating aircraft carrier.
Is that the premise of that one? I didn't get that one. I don't know. I don't know why.
What's
I didn't
matter get... with you?
I don't know. It depends what I'm getting that month. If it's just too, I probably was getting too much that month, so I had to. I didn't get that one. I'm not really into like air stuff.
That's kind of broad. Any characters that fly?
No, like
airplanes. I'm not into it.
Like 40s, like air fighting stuff. Like what's that? What's that genre called?
Like Red Baron. I don't know.
Like that. Like fighting aces, that kind of stuff.
You don't like that?
Nah, I'm not really into it.
It's a damn shame.
Because and Wild Beyonder is like a cross between that and post and futuristic, right?
Well, yeah, but it's got a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff in there. Just because they're flying, what difference does it make?
They should have emphasized that in their solicitation. Solicit.
They did.
I should have read that part of it more. Definitely, someone is at fault here. I'm not saying it's me.
Yeah, but you would have just read number one anyway, so you wouldn't.
That's right, but then I would have read number one.
It is cool, man. There's this air support group, I guess, that they're like the good guys or the rebels, and then there's like an evil empire that this judge runs, And I guess for some reason they like mine certain like ores and stuff so they can fly their aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And this one mine ran dry, and the one judge, he's like hardcore. You don't really know much about him other than he's like the guy that's tracking the runners. You know, he's tracking the rebels. You don't know why. You just know that he's tracking them. And, you know, he looks like a bad guy, but you don't really know. You don't know what his motivation is yet. You just know that he's hunting them. And then he's like heartless, but I think he's heartless for a reason because he knows this is post-apocalyptic and there's limited food and shit like that. So, like, this mine runs dry, and he's got no other mine to take these families of miners that mine for him to fly his vehicles and stuff. So he just like says, "I'm gonna leave you here. I'm taking all your food." And he tells the leader, "Give me 10 of your, give me 10 of your best people, and I'll take them with me." And they have to be like totally healthy and such.
Mm.
And he leaves everybody else behind, hundreds of people. Just takes the 10 people that he needs.
Where were they, on the ground or
they were earth, on the, or? They had landed their craft near the mine.
But where's the mine? Is it on Earth or some
it's
other
on Earth, planet? It's on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they have these cool rocketeer guys, like they have like rocket packs.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and they
now have, that's why you like it.
Oh, I love it. And they like protect the aircraft. They're like the kamikaze pilot. Like they're expected to die. And then the next layer up is like the fighter pilot. They like fly the old planes. And then they have the aircraft that has all the civilians and people on it that they're supposed to protect. But it's pretty cool, man. These rocketeer dudes are awesome. And they just lost one, so they had to recruit one from the ground of miners. And he seems to be a traitor. Like, at the end of issue 2, he's, like, typing in Morse code or whatever. He's typing in coordinates of where they're located. And then the judge actually gets those coordinates and say, "I know where they're at." But it's pretty cool because the mother runs the main ship and the daughter is the main fighter pilot, and they really don't get along. It's a cool futuristic book. I like it.
Cool. Well, you've been listening to Geek Brunch, and I am Bill. This is Mike, and you can catch us on Facebook or.
Oh, hey, that's cool. Hello. What's up?
Not much. Bill doesn't know what Eastern Standard Time means either.
Yeah, I'm so used to doing it at 11 Mountain Time that I was like, oh, clearly it's Mountain Time.
Well, I thought it was weird that Bill said yes in the email. I don't think he read that right. Then I got to think, what happened is I got my shows confused. I usually start Retrocast early. And when Bill said, "Yeah, I could show up early," I'm like, "Cool," you know. And then all of a sudden, you didn't answer, so I had Barb text you while I was getting ready. And then she said that you were out, so I was like, "You know what? I think it's 1:30."
You know what? I think I do a show with two complete idiots who can't read.
They don't know how to read. They don't know how time works.
Yeah, time zones. Very confusing.
And then I even tried to call Bill, and that's like trying to get a hold of, like, if I want to like try to save Bill's life or something, it's forget it. I call his cell phone. It's like turned off. It like it goes directly to the
I call the emergency elevator line.
Call Otis.
Yeah, I'm like calling Bill. So. Because I was like, I want to read on the deck. But then I said, I could take my cell phone out there and hear the little Skype thing, you know, like it goes bloop. And then I just went out and read. So it didn't interrupt my day. I was going to read anyway.
Cool.
So now you got to read more.
So Barb said that you were getting supplies for a post-apocalyptic event.
Yes. Or I was at Walgreens dealing with the end of the world that was there. So Walgreens is the end of the world, though. So
that's usually the first place that they raid in a post-apocalyptic event because the drug addicts want it. People need their medications.
Well, that's where you go there because then you can sell the drugs for a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what you can barter. Money means nothing. You can
not money, but yeah, that's the money.
For goods. You can get drugs for goods.
Water.
But I tried. So here's the thing, right?
High
so
fructose corn syrup.
Oh, that's good stuff. If there's an app for Walgreens, right, and you can, and it has a thing for you can get refills quickly. You scan the barcode on your prescription bottle or whatever, and you send it to the store, and they say they'll have your refill done at a certain time, right? So I said, cool. I scanned the thing. I show up there around, like, noonish or what have you. And they're like, oh, whoops, we didn't know about that.
So, we don't ever read the computer. Yeah, we only answer phone calls.
And so I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And then they were like, 5 minutes. And I said, cool. Because, you know, it's vitamin D. It isn't like it's a like complicated drug shit. They gotta go back in the and cook it up or whatever.
I thought vitamin D was over the counter.
No, you can get some stuff, but I have like
super vitamin D.
You got super vitamin D?
Yes. So super vitamin D, you have to go to the pharmacy to get, right? And so this takes like 5 minutes to whip up. You just go outside, you bottle some sunlight, and you stick it in a tube and you're good, right? And so
is it because you hate the sun?
No. No, it's because my body is doing something weird and they're just using it as a test.
Micah is preparing for the apocalypse when there's no sun. He'll be like loaded up on vitamin D.
Or that.
I've seen Micah though in 90-degree weather wearing a hoodie. So I'm like, maybe he is a vampire.
It's not for the sun, it's for the bugs.
I've never seen any bugs except that time we went camping. Or we went hiking.
They're everywhere. I didn't wear my hoodie yesterday and I got bit by 2 mosquitoes. That's why I wear it all the time. Every time I decide not to wear it, I get bit by bugs. And it's like, oh, that's right. That's right.
You must have a good blood type.
I must.
It must be O.
Type O blood.
I'm whatever everybody wants.
That's O. Yeah. That's what the mosquitoes like, bastards.
I just know that these people, they keep blowing my phone up all the damn time. Not my phone, my email address. Like, we need to have a whatever.
Blood?
It's like, yeah, we.
Are you like the universal one, or are you like a specialty one?
I'm universal donor.
That's type O.
Yeah, I'm not a universal retriever. Which one is that? Is one of them that you can take whatever blood?
Yeah, that's like a weird one.
Yeah, no, I'm a universal donor.
I know I'm him too, which stinks because we can give it to anyone can take ours, but we can only take like a couple other ones.
Yeah, we can only take
like the same one I think or something like that.
I'm type O too. That's weird.
Look at us!
Wow.
Come the apocalypse, we're all doomed.
We shouldn't be saying that because people will hunt us down.
Yeah.
If there's a post-apocalyptic event, we need to go after Geek Brunch.
Those guys all have the Geek Brunch.
They're universal donors.
Shouldn't be giving that kind of information out.
No, thinking about it now, possibly a mistake. But yeah, I just gave blood 3 minutes ago. What do you mean you need more of my stuff? We need the O and U. Like, oh, cool. Thanks, guys. That was really catchy.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. Every time there's an email
out. Like, side of you.
We need the O and U. I'm like, or you need to chill the fuck out.
The O. The O face. O, O, O.
So, yes. But the dude in front of me, when I after like 20 minutes was up, I went to stand in line to actually get my stuff. Like, hey, give me my stuff or whatever. But the dude directly in front of me was like, oh, I'm here to pick up whatever, right? And so he goes to the dude, and the pharmacist is like, what's your name again? and says his name, and then he goes and he shuffles the little like basket they have there with all the prescriptions in them. Like he didn't see it there, so he goes to the computer, types homeboy's name in, and he goes to the back and he goes, "Oh, all right." And then like so like 10-15 minutes, and they couldn't find it or whatever, and he found it, right? And because this is Walgreens, you know, they only have like two people working. And then one person working the register, and the other person is working like the drive-through line, which is like popping big today because for some reason everyone go to drive-through to get their drugs. So
they want to stay out in the heat.
Which honestly, or stay in an air-conditioned car. Honestly, it might have made more sense for me to go to the drive-through because it seemed to be working a lot faster than standing in line did. And so homeboy was like, "Yo, where are my drugs at?" And dude were like, "I don't know." And then they found his drugs after like 10 minutes of searching around. And then it was like, "I don't want that shit." And it was like, "What?" Like, yeah, I told the doctor I was just going to change my lifestyle. So I don't need acid reflux. I don't need the acid reflux medicine. I was here for like the heart, for like the
hardcore vitamin D.
the cholesterol. I'm here for the cholesterol thing. And I'm here for like the other blood stuff or whatever. And dude was like, "Well, hold on, let me go check this out." And he goes, "Do you give me permission to look at your record to find out if I like what you had before to know if this equals that?" And then he was like, "No, why do you need that? I just told you what I need." And he's like, "Yeah, like I know you told, but that's not, something isn't right here. What you're telling us, what we have in the list aren't matching up, and so I can look at your record to see what you had before to see what's going on." And so they do that, and then
this is fucking awesome. Last week was like talking about how to sell a house, and this week we're telling you how to buy your prescriptions.
Yeah, but like
apparently you're finding out how to scam them out of prescriptions when you don't have an actual prescription.
Nice. What happened is the guy's insurance company told him that they had already paid for it, right? But then they told the pharmacy that he can't get anything paid for anymore. He has to go through a mail order service. And so there was a lot of confusion.
That's a weird time to do that, because usually that confusion starts at the beginning of the year when the new insurance kicks in.
Right, right. Well, this is his first time getting a new prescription of some sort or whatever, but they were like, he's like, "How can they have me go up to a mail order for a number of refills when I have never had this drug before?" And the pharmacist was like, "Good point. Good point." So they had to work that out. So they finally got to me, and I was just like, I just need my son pills. And they gave it to me, and I walked out.
Mike is like Superman. He needs the sun to charge up.
Yes, I just need the low sun to charge me up. I've been sitting in a red sun all day. It's not working out for me. So... yeah, that was that. But then on the way to get gas, there was this person in front of me who was going literally 5 miles an hour. And I couldn't get around him. And
maybe he had a car that ran on urine and it just doesn't work as well.
No, they had a car that looked like it was at least made in 2010. So it had one of those fancy like stickers on the back of it that said it used like mega fuel or whatever. I don't know. But
corn oil.
No, it was like, I don't know, super powerful engine type or whatever, but...
it was urine. It's apocalyptic, you're going to have a urine fuel converter.
No way, you need your urine to drink.
Oh, urine. Well, you have to balance things. You either drink your urine or you drive.
Decisions.
You got to figure, maybe I can just... hold off on drinking this urine for a bit. If I can drive to another spot where they have some water or something. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, that's my phone. Shh, go to sleep, phone. But yeah, that was my morning so far. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Bill's hitting the mute button every now and then because when he talks like Coco, like his arms flail like an ape. When you start talking about post-apocalyptic,
start banging on things.
He starts banging on things and his arms go all over the place. He was trying to explain something to me, and I couldn't hear him for like 5 minutes. I was like, what's going on? I hit the damn mute button.
It was a great rant, too. You should have heard it.
Yeah. So let's talk some comics. We gave him the Walgreens speech. Walgreens noise.
So, I read another like 20 issues of Steel. I'm almost done. I'm almost at the end of the entire run of Steel. At some point in time, Louise Simonson is off the book, right? And they bring in a number of writers. And I wish I had my stupid thing with me so I could tell you. But anyway, I didn't even notice as I was doing it, but like I think Tomasi ended up writing a couple issues of Steel. And
Priest
wrote some issues in there. And there's a couple other people who wrote, whoa, everything's falling apart, wrote a couple issues of Steel. And the tone of the book is interestingly different depending on who's writing it. Like the book goes a lot more, like, a lot darker at certain times depending on who's writing it. And then, like, when Luis is writing it, it's usually, even if they're dealing with, like, heavier subject matter, the book has a bit of fun to it. But, like, if Priest was writing, when Priest was writing it, it was decidedly less fun. Because he seems to be, in general, a less fun guy. But,
I don't know. He wrote a cool Black Panther, that's for sure.
No, it wasn't bad.
He had fun in Quantum and Woody.
Well, yeah. Well, there was that, yes. I was thinking, like, on Steel, it was notably...
More
like,
serious the tone take.
Yeah, more serious. And I didn't realize that Steel had, like, superpowers. Apparently, he can teleport stuff. And himself. I was not even aware of this for some reason. Because he never does it. Does he still have those powers in the new universe, or are those gone?
They've only showed the new Steel like maybe twice in a backup feature in Action Comics.
Yeah,
I really have no clue, like what his story is.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
But so you read the let's say 28 to the end.
I'm not at the end yet. I read about. Let me go to my little bookshelf thingy here. I read from, like, 17-ish all the way up to 38.
Oh. So you have David Michelinie. What was he like? Because that guy was, like, awesome in the Bronze Age.
Good. Very good.
He's the one that was popular with Spider-Man in the day.
There's a lot of good artists on this. Right now, it's...
You said 17 through what?
38, 39.
38.
Vince Giorano's penciling. But there were a lot of good artists on Steel for a time period there. The book always looked pretty good. Like it went through his face. I'm trying to find out if Tomasi was the one is the guy I'm thinking of.
Well, you had David Michelinie start on 17. And he didn't last very long. Then you got some guy, Ruben Diaz. And I don't know who that is. And then you have Louise Simonson back on for a few issues. Well, actually quite a few. And then this Darren Fenzinzo comes on issue 32.
Right.
And then Tomasi on 33. And then Priest all the way out.
Right. Yeah, that's what it was. I knew Tomasi was there somewhere.
He only did one though. Wow. I think at this time Tomasi was more of an editor, and they probably didn't have anybody to bridge. And they said, "I'll just write it."
Yeah, it was a standalone story he did, and it was like dedicated to his pop or something like that. I'm not entirely certain, but yeah. So at some point in time, Steel Suit turns into a demon. All right, like. I'm not sure exactly what the whole deal is, but his suit is possessed, or his suit isn't possessed, but is actually in itself demonic. And whenever he has the power to teleport his suit to, like, this negative space, right? And so he'll fight an enemy, and he'll teleport the suit to a negative space, and then he can be Steel again, and then he can teleport it back to himself, and whatever.
So it's a cheap way to change costumes.
Right. He doesn't have to wear the suit everywhere he goes. At some point in time, he starts wearing, like, black spandex all the time and just has rocket boots, and then he can call the suit to himself later on. But he runs around, and because the suit is possessed by a demon and he has to fight it, he ends up having to build a new suit that's not as strong and whatever, so he gets all sad because the suit isn't as good as it used to be and complains about it all the time. And at the same point in time, Natasha, his daughter, not daughter, niece, turns into a superhero as well. And there's this stuff called TAR that gives you superpowers. It's very similar to, like, whatever Patriot was on in the Marvel Universe. The, like, thing it's, that gave...
It's the stuff that could give you jacked up, but...
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
No, so...
As a matter of fact, I think Natasha Irons was in a team at one time. I can't think of who the team was.
I know she,
but it had to be I think it was a team based on people that had done TAR, because it's like a drug, right? Lost the connection again. Bloop. Hello. I'm sorry, I lost you there, Micah. What were you saying?
Oh, she only took it once, and but she was able to maintain. It maintained the power for a while, but after she was going through withdrawal, she like went all hulked out, and then her and Steel and some random blind dude at a graveyard had to help her through it. So
I think it was Infinity Inc. the new version.
Yeah, she was in that team after 52 and whatever with Lex Luthor, whatever, and they took away everyone's powers and killed them at some point in time. Not everybody, but
yeah, that was a weird series, man.
Yeah, I don't think I liked it very much. I think I liked the beginning of it, and then it got weird near the end.
Yeah, I think I liked the beginning of it, too. It started off really good, and then it just got really weird.
I think it was at a weird time period where they weren't sure what they were going to do next. I think that's what was going on in Infinity Inc. Like, they didn't have an end goal, so then things got slow. I'm trying to remember that, but
Well, me and Bill read, what did we read? Deathmatch.
Deathmatch. I did read Deathmatch. I only read the first four, though, because that's all that's come out in trade so far.
Well, I've read almost everything.
Oh, I wish I'd read everything.
So I'm going to spoil it for you, so you don't have to worry about that next year.
You're kind. So kind. So what do you think?
Deathmatch is by Paul Jenkins and Carlos Magno.
Carlos Magno has done some Planet of the Apes recently.
Oh, God. His Planet of the Apes, one of the best comics out there. I mean, Daryl Gregory is the writer for that. And, man, that's a good comic. Well, I remember liking Carlos Magno's art, like, when Countdown was happening. Because I was doing a show with Derek. And we were doing like a Countdown episode, and I remember liking Magno there, but he was like every fourth issue, or maybe fifth issue. But he's good, man. And his character designs in this, what do you think, Bill?
They're awesome.
Oh hell yeah!
And I like his art because he's kind of he puts like a lot of detail into it, like what's his name, Juan Jose Rip.
Yeah.
Like a lot of fine line detail.
He's got that like style that Rip has too. Like, it's hard to explain, but he has like a lot of lines within the faces and stuff. And
yeah, lots of little lines rather than a solid line.
Like even in the pant legs or the costume, he doesn't just leave it flat. He puts a lot of lines in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and in this. Yeah, in terms of character, he must have had fun with designing the characters for this, because I think doesn't it start with like 30 characters or something?
Yeah, and what's really cool is if, like, this is something that you can't jump on in issue 4, I don't think. I think you got to read it from the beginning. But
yeah,
what is really cool is in the back of the issue, you get like the tournament bracket. Mm-hmm. And it tells you all the characters that were ported into this death match and who wins. And then it also tells you in the back, like, four detailed descriptions of the characters that are in it. And then it tells you in the back everybody that's died or just summaries of characters, because it doesn't want you to forget, like, who these characters are, even the ones that have died. Mm-hmm. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, so the premise of this, we've talked about it on the show before, but it takes place in this world where there's superheroes, and these 30 superheroes find themselves trapped basically in this place they don't know, this building or whatever, they don't know where they are, but they're forced to fight to the death, one another to the death. And it's weird because they can't remember how they got there. And then when they get into the fight arena, they're told something that makes them fight each other, even though they could have two best friends go into the death arena and they'll fight each other to the death, even though they're best friends outside the arena. And we're not let in yet on what they're told that makes them fight. So it's like a mystery.
Yeah, like, so the story opens up with one of the guys killing, like, his name is Nephilim. And he kills, like, Electronica in the first round, and he, like, loved Electronica. And Nephilim, he's kind of like he seems like a loyal dog, like, very innocent, and
yeah,
he never wants to, huge, and never wants to do anything really totally evil. And he has to kill his love. And it's like, he's, like, devastated after that. But that's
because when they come back from the death arena, they can't remember. They don't know why they killed the other person. They don't know what they were told that made them kill.
And then they lose their powers too. They're shut off.
Yeah, when they're back.
When they're in the neutral zone, they've lost their powers. And it's weird because I don't know if you've gotten to the point, Bill, but they have a way to negate your powers in the dome to make, like, the fight more equal, like. Let's say if you got, like, a Batman character fighting somebody that's really beefed up and has powers, well, they'll negate that person's powers some way.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's a fun comic because you have the whole mystery side of it. You don't know why they're there and why they're doing this, and they're trying to solve the mystery. Plus, you have all these cool characters that they're introducing, and that's always fun when you get to learn about all these new cool characters they've come up with. And there's some of them that are interesting, like the glyph guy. They have this one guy, he's called the glyph, and they keep him in, like, this little glass container. He's, like, smaller, but they keep him separated from everyone else because he's apparently very smart and has figured something out. So they keep him separate, but he's, like, this weird alien-looking dude.
I really like Sable because she's, like, the Batman of this universe. She's like a female Batman, and then they have Mr. Chuckles, who's like the Joker.
Mm-hmm. And then they have...
She's like got another... I forget the woman's name. She's got like her own Robin, and she's like Nightwing now. She like left Batman, so she's like Nightwing.
Yeah, I haven't seen that part yet. But Sable's cool because she wears a mask, and like one of the characters is like knows who she is under the mask, and he's like, you don't know... You'd be shocked if you found out who she really is. So there's like all these little mysteries that they're setting up that you're curious about.
Yeah, they have the rat. The rat is
the Rorschach.
Yeah, he's like the Rorschach or question of this universe, and he's awesome. Like, he's got no powers, but he's like, even if you watch Justice League Unlimited, he's like that question that was just like kind of like supernatural and kind of new things.
Oh, he'll do whatever it takes to survive. Like in one part, he hit a screwdriver like in his arm under his skin. Like he dug in, cut into his arm, and put in a screwdriver and sewed it back up again. That's awesome. Yeah.
Did you get to the Professor Hieronymus Higgins, the guy like from the Victorian England?
Yeah, where he was modifying stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome. He actually
He hacked into the system,
and he found out like what was going on and wanted to tell everybody, because when a tournament's going on, I guess they can physically see what they're doing on the monitor, and they have more awareness of what's happened and where they're going. And when they come out, they can't use their powers, and they kind of forget things.
Right, they so forget the reason they're there.
He like hacked into the system and he was like going to tell. And then it like flip-flops characters, like characters that you think are good don't seem as good. And then it flops them back, so you really don't know what's going on, and it makes it interesting. Because in that fight, it made Sable look bad, didn't it? Because he was, like, trying to tell everybody what was going on, and she didn't let him.
Yeah, she was trying to stop him from letting... She didn't want him to tell the other people the truth about what was going on, which is strange, yeah.
He was such a cool character. I liked him a lot.
It's like like the Victorian guy with a big hat.
Yeah, it's like he didn't fucking have any powers. He's just like a scientist that was bad. He could like time travel or something because you learn about his stuff in the back, like if you want to read more about him.
Yeah, and in the trade they collect the in the back too, so they do have that information. The only thing, so I really like this obviously. The only thing I didn't like is I don't really like that dragonfly guy. I think he's kind of a douche.
See, I like him. He's like, most of the story is told through his eyes, too.
Yeah, I know.
They kind of switch it in the end. They start telling it through another person's eyes. But the beginning, I think the issues that you're in, a lot is told through him. You don't like him, huh? He's the main character.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, there's a lot of characters.
Benny Boatwright.
Yeah, no, like some of his reactions, I don't know if it's the writing or the character, but they just seem strange.
And then they had this character, like the hater. He's like a punisher. Did you see that?
I haven't got to that guy yet.
And then Meridian's like the Superman of the universe.
I think I like Sol Invictus a lot, too. He's like a god.
Yeah.
Sun god or something. And I don't know where he came
from. I thought you were going to say the Cube, who's like a human jellyfish.
Yeah, Cube's a little freaky.
Yeah.
He killed that one guy.
He's ugly too, man. But it's a great series, man.
And then there's that mutate guy who looked like a cat or something. He's like from came out of like the jungle or something.
Oh yeah, but he's like the Black Panther that always likes peace though. And he was forced to kill the hater. But
well, I guess I did see the hater then.
You did. Cuz that happened early.
Yeah, if he was
it was a first round mutate. Kill. So that's why I was surprised you said you didn't see it. Yeah, it's really cool. I like it a lot. I am one issue short of the next trade because I read 2 through 7. Me and you read number 1 a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
We did a tag team on that. And then I tweeted, I think, that I was reading that next and you said you read the first trade. So that was just a coincidental.
Yeah, we both...
It wasn't a plan. It just coincidentally happened.
And then once I got to the end of this, I was like, oh, I wonder if I have the second trade. And that's not even out yet. Son of a bitch. And what's weird is I looked to see if I had ordered it from DCBS, and I couldn't find any record of it in previews. But Amazon says it's coming out in September, so I don't know if it was never in previews or what's going on with it.
Well, do you order in DCBS, like... through the spreadsheets, or do you order through the site itself?
The site.
Well, you could always go to Unshipped Items and see if you have it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then search for it because.
But I searched. I saved the Excel files, and it didn't show up in any of them. Did a search and didn't see it. So I don't know. Maybe I'll email Boom and say, "Hey, what's up with the?" Ask him when it's coming out.
I think it's really come out. I hate to break it to you, Bill. I kind of looked just out of curiosity because you said you read the first volume.
Yeah.
So what I did is I went to Amazon and I typed Deathmatch Volume 1 because I wanted to know what it covered. I thought it was just 4 issues because Boom tends to do that. But then I saw Volume 2 there.
I think it's supposed to come out in September.
It didn't say it does say available for pre-order.
But maybe it hit comic book stores already. Because I know sometimes Amazon gets their books a month later than the local shops do for some, like, arbitrary reason. So maybe that's the case.
It couldn't have come out yet. And here's why, because number 8 hasn't come out yet.
That doesn't stop some companies.
No, but then it would be a 3-issue trade. It would.
No, I mean, like, they'll put out issue 8 in the trade before the issue comes out, like in floppy sometime.
I've never seen that happen. I've seen them do it simultaneously, but
right, yeah, simultaneously. Okay, yeah. Like, I know this happened simultaneously before.
But Bill's not at the point, but they reveal a lot more later on about what's going on.
How many issues is it going to be? Is it like 10 issues or something?
I would think it would have to be a 3-issue volume, because I read 1 through 7 and number 8 doesn't seem like they're nowhere near wrapping up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might be a 12.
Unless sales are so bad that he has to force it. Everybody dies.
It's good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at the end. Do you think they're all really dead, or are they going to come back?
I think they're really dead. But I'm further in the story than you, so.
Yeah. And then in this issue, they have some theories as to who's causing this, but they haven't figured it out yet. And then, yeah, don't tell me what happens in 5, because the end of 4 ends where there's going to be a reveal. Like, there's this weird area in the neutral area, this big dome almost, and like the doors open up and they've never opened before, so we don't know what's inside.
Yeah, they do a good job of ending this each
arc
single issue.
No,
because it kind of ends like on some kind of cliffhanger that is pretty, like, makes you want to read the next issue. So it works really good in singles. Especially when you have them all. then you can just keep reading.
Yeah, you probably flew through them, huh?
Yeah, I read those all this morning. I mean, I read one last night, and then we started watching God, what is that, Osama Bin Laden movie? Zero Dark 30.
Oh, Zero Dark 30, yeah.
Yeah, and so I stopped reading, and then I just started reading The Crack of Dawn. I get up so damn early. I don't understand. I can't sleep. I wake up like at 2 and 3. Usually I sleep damn good from like 10 to 2. And then I wake up stressed out, and then I get up for an hour, and then I go back to sleep, and then I sleep really well, and then I have to get up. I don't understand.
Stressed out, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So that high fructose corn syrup.
It could be. Either that or the aspartame.
Yeah, the aspartame in your system.
I gotta start googling this stuff. I personally think the corn syrup's keeping me alive though. So
you're not giving that up.
It's preserving me. It's embalming me, kind of. High fructose corn syrup and Dr. Pepper 10. It's good for you. So, speaking of Mr. Jenkins, I read another Jenkins book. And I don't know how to describe this, but it's really weird. It's from Titan Comics. It's called Tomorrowland. And I guess Tomorrowland is really a thing in Europe where people, it's like a DJ thing or something where people just go out and dance. I think it really exists. I had to Google this, because this book I didn't understand. But this is about two DJs that open a portal to Tomorrowland, and it's really effed up. The art looks European. It's Anti Fermansha and Benny Molana. So the art is pretty cool, but it does definitely look European.
And that's one of the new books that Titan's bringing out in their American comics, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I got that one. I got a couple of them, but I don't think it
looks fantasy-based. Like, and these two brothers that are DJs, they don't know what the hell that's going on. They keep dreaming about this portal, and then it actually happens. But I think it's only like 4 issues, so I'm going to keep getting it to see what happens. It's just weird. And then there's like Einstein. It's like a time warp too. It's like an acid trip because Einstein shows up and fucking Shakespeare and all kinds of Legolas. I don't know what the hell's going on. But it's well done. You can read a comic and not know what's going on and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Any other books?
I got... Oh, you go, Micah. You haven't gone.
Oh, that's cool. I read a book called The Jam. Again, nothing from this century.
From Bernie Mill something or another?
Yep. Bernie Mac?
What?
No, French guy? I wish it was Bernie Mac. Might have been a more interesting book. No. Bernie Meault. M-I-R-E-A-U-L-T. Oh, that's impressive. It's called The Jam, Urban Adventure. It's from a year in the past. Gosh darn it. 1987. And the first thing... It was printed in Canada, by the way. Published by... I guess like the editorial thing in the beginning of the book. It's just basically an entire page... written text of why Marvel sucks and they need to give Jack Kirby his pages back.
Oh, I gotta read this.
Like, like this. Okay, the book consists of 32 pages of reprint material, and like, and it tells you the beginnings about how, what Jam is, kind of like what his goal was, or whatever, and then talking, and then at the end, it goes, so when is Jack Kirby going to get his bloody artwork back? And what's the deal with Marvel anyway? Did they have a corporate lobotomy and forget to mail a press release? And he just goes on, fucking out the three paragraphs, basically explaining that Marvel is stupid and full of dumb hits and needs to give Jack Kirby his artwork back and so forth. So
you didn't like it. It was like a political advertisement.
Oh, no. I approve.
Oh, okay.
It's the beginning of the... It's whatever. It's like the... it's not the letters page, but it's in the front of the book. It's like... It's like Stan's soapbox or whatever, but...
The editorial?
Yeah. But from the creator of this book. And actually... And as opposed to, like, you know, the soapboxes, which were advertisement for things, this one was like an actual editorial stance on something, so... And it has nothing to do with the book itself, which is fine. Like, that doesn't bother me. So anyway, The Jam is about a superhero in a city, like some sort of urban environment. And I don't know if it's...
Did you start at the beginning?
Yeah. Well, no, here's the problem. What I have is a special that was printed in 1987, and there's a bunch of reprints of different issues, and I don't think it's like the first three issues. I think it's
The reason I think it's weird is that it has three different publishers.
Oh,
it's like Slave Labor Graphics, Dark Horse, and Caliber.
Mm-hmm. Wow, see, I got this thing, it's the Matrix Graphics series. Maybe mine's straight from Canada,
huh?
That's weird.
I'm just looking at the single issues, and it says, like, with issue 6, Dark Horse begins publishing, and then issue 9, Caliber begins publishing.
Let me do some research on this.
But quick. They did have... Yeah, there's one... The special was published by Matrix, and then there's something published by Tundra, too. This is all over the place, man.
Yeah.
But if this is... If the one you have is reprinting, I don't know which... What is reprinting?
It doesn't tell me.
It probably reprinted the whole thing. It's only 12 issues.
No, I only have... This one's only 48
But it's
pages.
Earlier than...
The 14 issues.
It looks like the other ones were printed later, though, so I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on with The Jam. But anyway, I think it's about not a superhero, but I don't believe him to have powers. I think he's just a vigilante. I don't know if the book is a comedy or not. Like, not a comedy, but like... it's not...
Tongue-in-cheek?
I think it's tongue-in-cheek. It's not, like, full of jokes, but it's not like grim and gritty or whatever. Like it puts itself in sort of like a grim environment, like this really like Daredevil-esque, like shitty New York environment where like everything sucks all the time and people are depressed everywhere. But the stories don't take itself nearly as seriously as Daredevil did for a long time, right? So like he has a dog, and the dog is cute and happy, and I think there's a mouse or a cat that hangs out with him as well. I think it's a cat. And then like there are these instances of like extreme, you know, serious situation, right? Like there's like this instance of like domestic abuse that's happening, and like this dude is going to end up killing his wife and child, but he shows up just in time to stop it, and so and I think he shoots the dude. I think he ended up just killing the guy and then running away. But like so that part of it is it's kind of serious, but like the rest of it doesn't have nearly the same like serious tone to it. Like he stops the mugging at one point in time, and then the woman he saves ends up giving him a job later. So like so they're in some sort of order, but they're not in like I think they're not like it's not like issues 1, 2, and 3. Maybe it's issues like 2, 7, and 15 or something. Like it's weird. Like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense how it's like put together in here. So there's a shout out to like mainstream comics or whatever, because on the floor, like in the building that the what's his face lives on. He also lives with, I didn't think of what Scheinblom's first name is, but M. Scheinblom, Bruce Wayne, Frank Miller, and a couple other, like comic, either comic artists or comic book characters. So that was cool, I guess. But yeah, it's a really weird book, and I don't understand it at all. And I think the way, this special doesn't make the least bit of sense. So,
did you read it, Bill? It sounds like you did.
No, I have a couple issues of it, but I've never actually picked up in quarter boxes.
You should give it a go.
Let me find out what I have.
The individual issues make a whole. Cause like it ends with like some dude like talking about assassinating people and seems to be like pumping up a crowd or himself. I don't know.
Let's see, Jam. Yeah, I don't have. I have a couple of random issues. Color Adventure number 1. I should read that.
Ooh, that one's in color because the Jam is a black and white book. I guess I could mention that it's a black and white book. All
apparently, apparently they did a colored issue special. Yep, they did. Kamiko.
Wow, that's been all of 4 different companies. It's like the Rock. We just need Disney to make a movie of it now.
Yeah, we need Disney to make a movie. That'll happen. The Jam super cool color injected one shot. Okay, so yeah, there's a Dark Horse series. There's the series in 92 or the series in 93. There's a one-shot in 1987. Okay, the Jam was a backup feature for something. Or it is another thing that Bernie Moreau did. And so
is his art good? It seems like he's a writer and artist.
I mean, I think it's functional. That sounds bad. I like his art, but it's not like I didn't find it to be phenomenal. It didn't speak to me in any sort of way. But I thought it looked...
He's a good artist, though, right?
Point across. Yeah, he's a good artist. Yeah. Like, it didn't look wow me, but I like it's very good. Like, it's very good comic book art. He can tell a story with his artwork, which is better than some people I can mention. Actually, I can't mention their names. I don't know their names. But, I don't know. I read the Pacific Rim one-shot thing.
I wanted to read that after seeing the movie, because the movie I really liked.
Some of those... Like, it's like, but the problem is, there's like a bunch of different artists. Not a bunch, there's a couple different artists that do the book.
I didn't know that book was out.
I didn't even know there was such a book.
I heard somebody talk about that. I think it was Chris Campbell.
Pacific Rim: Tales from Year Zero.
Yeah, I want to seek that out because that movie was great, and I don't like that shit that much. I mean, I always root for King Kong. I didn't want any Godzilla.
Wait, was this a single issue or was it a hardcover?
Yeah, no, it's a book. No, it's not a comic. Sorry. Pacific Rim, you're talking about? Yeah, Pacific Rim is not an it's not a floppy. I don't think there's a floppy of it.
So it's the hardcover.
Yeah.
I want to get that.
You should. It's like $15 on Amazon.
Right by Sean Chen. I like him.
Mm-hmm. But there's like 3 to 15 artists. Yeah. I don't know if I think some of them may not have had enough time. Maybe some of the story didn't suit their artwork. So like some of them. So what it is all like individual character moments from before Pacific Rim.
But that's kind of cool.
No, it is.
Seen the movie.
You know, like it works for that. But I'm just like. Not all of it works on the emotional level in which I think they wanted to work at times. And I think part of it is due to, I don't know if they matched all the artist up with the stories properly. And I don't know if they had, like, it looks like at times some of them, like in some pages, it looks like some of them did not have time to,
They phoned it in?
I won't say they phoned it in. I think they probably tried hard, but I think it looks like some things, like, are like smooth over a little bit and weren't completely finished. Like, not like in a terrible fashion, but like there will be a page where everything looks fantastic and then a page where things look less fantastic and you're like, why does this page not look as good as the page before it, you know? Those kind of things. Because they clearly got good artists to do it, but like, things are weird. Some things get weird in places. There's like a story about Tendo Choi and his dad, whatever, and a story about Stacker, and a story about, I think, one of the scientists.
It's kind of like a prequel to the movie.
Yeah, it's a prequel to the movie, but it's all one like all these little like one shot stories of what happened before the movie. So,
I heard rumors that they might make a second one.
There are rumors about it
because they. It's doing fairly well overseas.
Yes. But I don't know. I doubt they will. Like,
I hope it's not like Starship Troopers, because Starship Troopers was awesome the first one, and then it just went to hell in a handbasket.
My problem is, like, I don't know if I really want a second movie of this. Like, I think everything about it was cool. I just don't know if I, like, I mean, I don't write things like this or whatever, but, like, I don't really know if in this universe, if they make a sequel, like a Pixar's after this, if I could like buy into it at this point in time. Like, because the bad guy.
Yeah, awesome, because they could have like robots that form a big robot. Like,
so that part would be cool.
It's but, like, ching, ching, ching.
I just don't know if I want to, like, the monsters can't come back, because that would just be super stupid. And like, what are they going to do? Have, like, space aliens attack or whatever? Like, it just... I don't know. I'm actually happy if this is the only one. Like, I'm okay with that. But honestly, I just don't think they're going to make another one, because while it's recouping its money overseas and it'll make more money on DVD sales and whatnot, I just don't... I think that they were just so disappointed by the American, like, the domestic intake, especially, like, opening weekend and so forth, that the idea of putting another $200 million into this thing, that it's not a guaranteed success...
Well, come on, we could like hire less wills. We could hire less people to program the wills.
Yeah, but you need them. Like, if this movie's made for half as much money, I don't think it's a third as good. Like, I think part of what makes
the thing about technology is it advances, it gets cheaper and cheaper.
Right, but the thing is, this still costs $200 million, so maybe they can save $20 million and it only costs $180 million. And at that price...
I mean, it's probably... Good. Like, the sequel, if they did it, it won't make more than this one. It'll be the same.
Yeah.
It'll be like 60... What did it make? $60 million here?
Like, Actually, I could just hit the internet and tell you exactly how much it made.
I think it made like 50, 60 million. I think that's what it's going to target. Kind of like what Hellboys have done. You guys talked about this already.
Yeah. The difference is Hellboy costs a lot less than Pacific Rim to make.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim in America has made $90 million.
That's not bad. It made half of its money.
That's terrible. And it's made 200 overseas. So it's made a total of almost $300 million. But they spent $190 million to make it. That's not including their marketing.
See, I think it suffered from title. I think it did.
And honestly,
Pacific Rim, like, what the fuck is that? I mean,
and a shit for.
I think it suffered just like John Carter. John Carter was an awesome movie. I mean,
that name is so bad.
Like, if you're gonna go,
that's the most boring name ever.
Or something, like, you know, like, or it could be anything. It could
John
be
John Smith.
Yeah, it's like, come see John. Why couldn't they? If they had titled it like Warlord of Mars. I think that would have
done better.
Would have attracted your more sci-fi people, but they said John Carter. I mean, you're always going to get the geek to go, but the key to success is to get the geek plus the mass majority of people to go.
I think they lost at least $10 to $20 million on name alone, like before anything else happens. Like, I think John Carter, Jack Reacher, Jack Ryan. Like, what are like? Why do you do this to yourself? Like.
Yeah, that's the best name. They have people who make tons of money coming up with names for stuff, and they can't come up with something better.
At least Pacific Rim is better suited to like what the movie is. It's a movie about a fight along the Pacific Rim.
I'm not complaining about the title, but
like John Carter.
If you were to see the title and you don't see previews and stuff,
you have no idea what it was.
You have no idea what it is.
Their first trailer did suck as well. Like, the first trailer was not the first trailer you need for this kind of movie, too. And it turned a lot of people off because it looked dumb. It looked like a bad sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Sci-fi channel movie.
It did look bad, but it's a good movie.
No, it is. But that first trailer they used, like, ugh.
I mean, it wasn't great. Like, it was so good that I want to see it again. And I want to own the DVD. Or the Blu-ray. I liked it that much. And I don't buy much Blu-rays anymore because I have Netflix, but I want to own that one.
I think it's like the best intro to a movie I think I've seen in a long, like the first like 10, 20 minutes of it or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm not into that stuff, Micah. You're more into that stuff than I am. Like, I never watched, like, this is more like a manga type thing to me, like
it is. It's a direct ripoff.
It's like, yeah, it's like the closest I ever got to that was like the Godzilla movies as a kid. You know what I mean? And that was from the other perspective. It was monsters, but even in Godzilla, they had like the robotic guys that would fight Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
In the later movies.
Yeah. Now this movie is very much. Somewhere either between an homage or a ripoff of lots of anime stuff. So,
I think it's an homage. It's like what we could do if we take that concept and put lots and lots of money into it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's like it's not like a ripoff in the sense of like whatever Atlantic
we invented this stuff.
It wasn't that.
The plot's real simple, but it doesn't need to be complicated. And I think it was kind of cool how they did it through the Pacific Rim instead of, you know, they're all coming from the center of the earth or something. It's kind of cool.
I think Charlie needs a break. I think Charlie needs to go back to Philadelphia.
Oh, I love Charlie Day. Charlie Day is Charlie Day. You hire him, you know what to
do. You're going to get Charlie Day.
You're going to get Charlie Day. He's always screaming. Nobody, if you need a screamer in a movie, you hire Charlie Day. Because nobody can scream and talk insane. Like Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Charlie Day is the same character he is in Always Sunny in Philadelphia as a scientist.
Yep.
And he's that way in that other movie. I forget what he was in with Jason Bateman and Horrible Bosses.
Yeah. He is himself.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston smoking in that, though, man. If I had a dentist like that, good Lord.
He You'd go to the dentist more?
Yeah, I kind of would.
Okay, I read something else.
What do you got?
The next volume in the series called Crossed.
Oh, I could probably talk about that too. Cause...
Yeah, this is volume 5, which is interesting because they decided to group 2 arcs into 1 trade, so it's a big thick one.
Well, I might not have read the second one. What's the first one?
The first one is the David Laffam book called Yellow Belly, which starts at a sideshow out of a circus.
Oh, I've read this, yeah.
And then there's a bunch of bikers.
Yeah.
And then the second one is a David Hind story about this Grant Morrison guy.
That is awesome. He's like worse than the Cross themselves, man.
So both of these were good. I mean, it's another in the ongoing saga of the Cross. So the first story is about this like kind of loser type kid and his family. His family likes to go to the circus in the town before the town they live in because they want to. I can't remember why they like to avoid the crowds or something. But anyway, so they go to this circus. And they're in this sideshow when all of a sudden some of the Crossed appear. And he thinks it's some of... And then the Crossed get some of the sideshow guys. So it's all the sideshows and clowns and stuff turned into Crossed.
It's kind of terrifying because the father is like... He's got 2 sons and he wants to protect both of his sons. So he puts them all in
barrels.
In barrels, yeah. He throws them in the barrels. And then the father becomes a Crossed... And then it just gets insane.
Yeah, then he comes after them.
And the one kid pees his pants. Like, he's like an insecure dude. I think they make fun of him. Isn't that why they call him Yellow Belly or whatever? Or Yellow?
Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, he pees his pants when he gets...
Yeah.
He pees his pants and he passes out when he gets scared.
Yeah.
So that's how he actually survived, because he passed out. And the Cross didn't find him because he was passed out in a barrel. And then he comes to and sees everyone turned. So then he runs back to his old town and tries to warn everyone that the circus people have gone crazy and are eating each other and they're coming this way. And everyone thinks he's crazy. But then the Cross showed up. And then it's interesting because it's him with his like classmates and stuff. So it kind of, at first, his classmates pretty much hate him because he's a little sissy who passes out when he gets scared. But then he's fighting with them and stuff. So it's interesting. And it's so like a lot of these Crossed series, it kind of focuses on a single person in the story and how this Crossed invasion affects them. So it's kind of the character arc for this kid who goes from being the scared kid to he has to like step up at some point in the story and try and fight off these Crossed. And he's conflicted whether he should stay and fight in some situations or run. And it turns out that his being scared and running is actually an advantage in this world because at some points he's the only one who lives because he takes off when everyone else tries to fight.
Yeah, but he meets up with a character from previous arcs that survived. Yeah,
that was awesome.
The characters don't survive, but there's the guy from Psychopath, right? Isn't that what that arc was?
I thought it was a prequel, though, because wasn't that before? Because the guy from Psychopath, wasn't this when he was just taking off with his quote-unquote wife?
I didn't read it as a prequel. I thought he was already, didn't he like have him rape a girl or something like that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
Yeah, there's the sick guy, the psychopath guy from Psychopath is in this one. Makes a cameo appearance.
And he kind of warps this kid. Like, I think, warps him even further. And I think you can survive in the Cross lands as long as you become as sick as the Cross themselves. If not, you have to have a sick, twisted mentality to survive in the world, or you're dead.
So that was good. And then the second story in this was a good story by David Hein. It's this... Was he a writer?
He's like a pretentious writer that people... He's like a writer, but it's almost like these kids go up there to... Like, he'll mentor you into being a better writer or a better actor or whatever. But what he does is he has these kids send in resumes and stuff. Like, so he knows the ins and outs. And they have to, like, describe personal moments, their personalities, what...
The biggest
trauma they've gone through as kids and stuff.
Yeah, and then the worst thing they did in their life and stuff.
Yeah, and he selects them and then has them go to his mansion up in the boondocks. And I think he's like out on the outskirts of his like town that's like called Stumptown. And Stumptown's got a weird origin of itself. I don't want to even get there, but it's like insurance fraud, people like losing limbs so they can become rich, and then the insurance companies get smart on it.
Yeah, so basically you have this town with a bunch of people who are missing limbs.
Yeah, and it's very, very odd. But these kids go up into this place, and then he manipulates their minds based on the resumes, and this one guy goes up with his girlfriend, and he like makes her, he turns her into like this sexual object.
Yeah, well, doesn't he? I think when you first get there, he says, you're going to drop your identity and take on this one. And he gives you a piece of paper that describes your character, and then you have to be that character for the rest of your time at his place. And the characters are based on things about you. So, one of the girls, I don't know if she was sexually repressed or what, but she was very sexual. And then another guy had to be a jerk.
One was one ate like you, Bill. She didn't. She couldn't eat meat.
Oh yeah, the vegetarian had to eat meat, right?
That was brutal. They hung a pig, and because she didn't eat meat, it's like they just slaughtered it like and ate it like right there. It was disgusting. It was hard. Sometimes Crossed is so brutal, man. It's just hard to. I guess I feel worse when they do stuff to animals. If it's people, I guess okay with it.
You don't care when they do stuff to the crust, or when the crust do stuff to one another.
Yeah.
When regular people do stuff to each other or animals.
But it is warped. It also has a cop and her kid that she's protecting, or that she adopted or such. And, she does some awful things, like she throw one of the kids in the way so they can get away. It's like, man, it's twisted. It's just really twisted. Micah would hate every page and every word of this story.
Yeah, and there was one scene that was probably the grossest thing I've seen in Crossed thus far, which was the cop lady's grandfather.
Oh, the meat grinder?
Yeah, the meat grinder.
He's putting his dick in a meat grinder. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, it's crazy how they rotate these writers through this series, and it doesn't lose steam. Like they're all the same. they're all twisted, man. And they like to explore things that the other writer hasn't done, and they usually go for four or five issues a story.
And I'm pretty sure they're trying to like one up each other.
Yeah, yeah. But this guy's really bad. Like he manipulates these kids to do like it becomes like an orgy at the end.
Yeah, I think he just wants to have sex with all the people.
Yeah,
all the girls and probably the guys too.
Yeah, but one of the guys gets away and he's like already steaming mad because he went with his girlfriend and he's losing his girlfriend, and he manipulated him at the beginning, like at the dinner table in front of all of them. And he goes into town with one of the dudes that he'll like pay his wait staff to just so you could like beat the shit out of him. Like he'll get one of his guys and he's like punch the wait staff and they annihilate him, but he pays them real good money, so they just pay to get beat up. And he goes into town with this one guy on the wait staff, and then town is infected. I mean, it's totally jacked up. And then he brings this guy back, and he's one of the crossed. And he puts him in this room and he tries to lure this Grant Morrison character. I can't believe we're using the Grant Morrison analogy. he tries to lure him in.
I only see that because he looks like Grant Morrison.
he lures him in, and that doesn't work out. But he tries to kill people with the cross.
He uses the cross as a weapon, basically.
And they have like a river there, but they're able to get over it just by stockpiling crust. It's like they're able to get across. So it doesn't last. I mean, they eventually get over there and start doing their thing. And like any other cross series, there's no survivors except for maybe that little girl, right? Yeah,
I think the little girl took off on the river.
Yeah.
So at least he let the little girl live.
Yeah. Well, that other guy kind of just said, screw it. Like, he kind of gave himself to the...
He gave himself the disease.
The one guy that was kind of the character you're following, he just said, it's over. I don't want to fight this.
Because he also knew, like, if you let the cross get you, they're going to do horrible things to you. But if you infect yourself, then... and become one of them, then they can't hurt you anymore. Because then whatever they do, you're going to enjoy it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, what a horrible series. Fantastic.
Yeah, I started the other series. I just haven't gotten into the full arc yet. I started the other one. I did finish Night of the Living Dead since we're already in the Gore Fest. Number 9. This one's by David Hein. And this had to do with those people in Vegas that end up going to this military base for protection. And that base imprisons them because they want to use them as experiments to try to find a cure. Man, is it good. It's a good series, man. I like David Hein very much like I like Laugham. They're good writers for this particular brand of storytelling, and he's doing a good job here in Night of the Living Dead. But I want to lighten the mood. I read Hawkeye and I read Daredevil. I got caught up, and I have to say these two books are my favorite Marvel books. Like if I had to stop collecting all Marvel, I would still, and I was broke, I would still try to get these two books. I really like them. Daredevil's by Mark Waid, and Chris Somney does a lot of the art. And then the Hawkeye is by Fraction. And this is, like, Fraction, man, he's killing it in this book. It's such a weird – Hawkeye, more so, is such a weird book to describe because it has, like, a Gotham Central artistic style to it. It's a story of Hawkeye as Hawkeye – like, as Clint Barton, not as Hawkeye a lot. Like, you have one issue about his dog. Like, that was incredible because the whole issue is told through the dog's eyes. And so you'll see characters talking and they, like, blur out the text of the people. And you'll see, like, dogs are catching certain words like eat, pizza, you know, like anything that dogs will recognize, walk, you know.
Yeah.
You can't see any of the other text. And the dog's like, every time the dog thinks, he thinks through symbol. Like, he would like think like, oh, this person like drinks a lot of coffee, it eats pizza, it's just awesome. It was such a good single issue. But it did tie into the story. But Hawkeye's living in this apartment and these people want him out. It's like a mafia, it's like a Russian mafia. They say bro a lot. And he's also got that female Hawkeye from the Young Avengers in there, which I like a lot as a supporting cast. But the series is incredible. It like each issue is so different from the next. And if you want something different in superhero storytelling, Hawkeye is the book for you. And then Daredevil is off the hook awesome. Like Mark Waid is just killing it. Like he can't do no wrong in my eyes right now, but he's lighting the series up, but he's also falling into the same pattern. Daredevil's easy to write to bring trauma to. And some characters found out his identity and is hunting him down, and you don't know who it is, and it turns out to be Bullseye. And Bullseye is like a invalid right now. Like, all he can do is move his head, I think, from the neck up, because Daredevil just effed up his world. But Bullseye is out to get him, and it's a really good story. And Foggy has, like, terminal cancer. And there's just, like, subtleties, like, where Matt Murdock will walk into the room, and he knows that this guy's being pumped with chemicals, and the chemicals just make him want to vomit. So he has to, like, leave the room, go to the bathroom, and throw up. But Foggy's like, he needs him there. It's like Friday Night Lights when the quarterback got paralyzed and he needed Riggins to be there, and he wasn't there. He was out screwing his girlfriend instead. But, man, it's just freaking intense. It's like the relationship between Foggy and Matt is just like, man, it's just incredible. It's written so good. I'd recommend Daredevil and Hawkeye to anybody that likes those characters or want something different in comics. They're good superhero titles.
They're definitely both getting a lot of accolades.
Yeah. It's well worth accolades, but they're still like selling. The interesting things about the titles though is they kind of like, they don't drop as much as like a standard title. So it, like, keeps a lot of readership, so that's a good thing. It just doesn't climb. Like, Hawkeye did have some climb points because I think word of mouth on such a low-selling title will cause it to bump up somewhat occasionally, but it doesn't make it, like, a best-selling title. But I think the trade's doing fairly well, and it's getting a lot of buzz. Like, Knutson never wants to read any Marvel comics, and he was asking me if I had digital codes. But the thing about that's nice about Daredevil and Hawkeye is they're $2.99 books, and that's kind of odd for a you know, Marvel too. So they don't have the digital copies, or I'd give them the copies because I give away a lot of digital codes.
Oh, because they're the cheaper.
Yeah, they're $2.99. They don't have a digital code.
Even though the digital code's supposed to be a free.
If you pay $3.99, usually you get a digital code. Like, there was one issue of Daredevil that was $3.99. It had a backup story in it, and it did have a digital code. So I still got to give that issue away, but it's a good story. And then the other two books I just want to mention briefly is I read George R. R. Martin's. You guys talked a lot about George R. R. Martin last episode. George R. R. Martin's Skin Trade.
Okay.
It's from Avatar. It's adapted by Daniel Abraham, and the artwork's by Mike Wolfer. And I really liked it, man. I don't know where they're going with it yet. It seems like they're in the werewolf realm, but I don't know. But it takes place about this guy who's like he's a creditor. He goes, his old job is to go track down people that aren't paying his bills, and he's hiring one of his friends, who's a sexy reporter type or a private investigator, to investigate a murder that he thinks he's going to be accused of, because it was a girl that he used to like a lot that was in a wheelchair, and he thinks they were supposed to meet the day she was murdered. So he thinks they're going to come and get him. And there's just something really twisted about this town. A skin trading type thing, like for skins, and this family owned the press, and it's weird because there's this rich family like that controls the whole town. But I've liked what I've read of George R. R. Martin's comics. I mean, his adaptations, like in the comic world. So I'll never read a book, but I like his adaptations. Yeah.
Yeah, I ordered that, or I have that issue. I just haven't read it yet.
And then I read another Boom book called Daymen. This is really weird.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet either.
It's about these dudes that a Dayman is like a vampire protector. In other words, they're like the guys that are around the day to protect vampires, and they're usually hired by the rich vampires to protect them when they get involved in crap. And they're kind of like the Renfield of, except they're badass fighters. You know, they're not, they know how to fight vampires. Like, this guy just has a cane, but he knows how to use that walking cane like nobody's business. And he's like, he's very young for being a Damon. This one was by Mike Gagnon and Michael Alan Nelson. Michael Alan Nelson's done a lot for Boom.
Yeah, tons. So are the Damon are humans?
Yeah, the Damon are humans. Okay. So, but it's interesting. Like, this one girl, this one rich woman that he works for, like, they make it explicit. Like, she goes into the tub and then she's bathing in blood and she comes out and she looks just younger. Like, it, man, it's got some weird stuff in it. It's very interesting. It's got Brian Stillfree's art. So, you know, he's been around for a while. And, I liked his art. I think it was pretty good. I think I read a lot more, but I think that's all I'm going to talk about.
I got one more thing.
All right.
I read the Daredevil End of Days hardcover.
Oh, man.
The miniseries by Brian Michael Bendis, David Mack, and Klaus Janson, I should say, and Bill Sienkiewicz. Sienkiewicz. There we go. Hate his name. It's too hard to say. Now, so I have a love-hate relationship with Brian Michael Bendis, but I gotta say, when he's writing with David Mack, I like his writing a lot. Because I really like this a lot. Which is why I got the hardcover.
I didn't think I was gonna like it. I read it the week that I would have been on Geek Brunch if I was with you guys. But, man, it was really good. I love that series. It was like a 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, me too.
It was so good.
It was first off, I was born to like it because Klaus Janson is one of my favorite artists. So I thought the art was amazing. And story-wise, it's like a kind of future take on Daredevil. It starts out with Daredevil dying, and then the whole story is them trying to figure out what is he. How do you describe it? He's not figuring out how he died because they know how he died. Well, I guess. So when he died, he said a word, and he's trying to find out what that word is, right?
What'd you say, Bill?
Did I go out?
No, I heard you. I was just talking to Barb. I had to go mute.
Okay. Is Micah still here?
I think Micah went away as soon as we started talking about the cross.
She's waiting for us to finish talking about crust. No, I'm. He's watching TV on the sofa, apparently.
You sound really distant.
Oh, I see. I was on mute, so I moved my microphone, and then I forgot about it. That's why I sounded distant. I am still here.
Sounded like you're talking from across the room. No, I'm here. I'm still here.
No, on my headset. I just moved the microphone away from my mouth so I could drink some water without knocking into it.
I'm here. I'm still here. I'm not watching TV.
Well, Barb decided to clean under the sink today, and she's discovering all kinds of interesting things.
Oh, my.
So that's why I went mute. So what were you saying, Bill? You asked me a question.
What was my question? Oh, I was just asking how you would describe it, because he's not really trying to find out how Daredevil died, because he already knows that. He's kind of trying to find out. Oh, I remember. So he doesn't know what Daredevil did before he died. Like, he kind of went missing for a few years, and he's trying to figure out where he was and what happened to him and how he got to this state in his life.
Initially, unwillingly, because J. Jonah Jameson's like, damn it, you're going to do this.
Yeah, you're going to write an article about Daredevil and his life.
And that reporter knows, like, his identity. Like, he's the one that was, I don't remember if he's in Bendis' run, he found out who he was and he never published it. Like, he was the one that was writing the computer, and then he hit the delete key. Protected his identity.
And one of the cool things about this story is throughout the story, he goes to interview a lot of Daredevil's villains who are now no longer villains, and they've either retired from the villain business, or a lot of them have gotten mental help and are now clean, so to speak. So you get to see all these former villains in their civilian life.
Gladiator, the Owl, a lot of them play like major parts in it.
Typhoid Mary was awesome because I didn't even recognize her at first.
I didn't either.
And then when she said something, I was like, oh, damn, that's Typhoid Mary. And then Elektra. It's good.
And it didn't. Did you notice how a lot of these women had kids and they all had red hair?
Yeah, apparently Daredevil slept with everyone.
That was awesome.
Daredevil got around in his later days.
The book is so good that I almost want to buy the hardcover, but I'm not. I'm not going to double dip unless it's Valiant. I'll only
for Valiant double dip. I like the hardcover is good because it's got the oversized pages, and it also has. It's interesting. It has a couple of pages from the script where they took. They had things that were in the script, but they decided to pull them out of the story. So. You got to see a couple more clues as to the final reveal that were cut out earlier and weren't necessary. And I see why they cut it out, because it wasn't really necessary.
And then Yurik's son is the new Daredevil. That's freaking awesome.
And then it's weird because so they have a. There's a couple of pages in here by David Mack and Alex. Whatever, Alex Maleev. But they're just like random pages, like, no, not random pages, but throughout, usually like when there's a flashback or something, they had one of those guys do the art. So, but I really like this a lot. It was really, really well done.
And then how it goes into like how Stick trained Daredevil and how, and then it tells you who the new Stick is to train the new Daredevil. That's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's got the Punisher. He was awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. He was in jail.
Yeah, Punisher's in jail.
I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did, and I couldn't put the book down. I really couldn't.
Hey,
that is
not... Hey. Children.
It's the Crossed.
Children of the Crossed.
Children of the Corn.
Yeah, so I like this a lot. I highly recommend it. It was a good story.
It's cool because you just coincidentally read like a lot of the stuff that I've read. and we didn't like plan that.
Yeah, but honestly, I probably could have read anything and it would be something that you've read. So.
Oh, that's true. But I'm so far behind that it's not necessarily true.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I heard Micah like say he doesn't like Daredevil, so we probably killed him.
I don't dislike Daredevil. I'm just not excited about reading a whole lot of other Daredevil stories.
It's so good, though, Micah. God. Of course, Daredevil's probably my second favorite Marvel character near Black Panther.
Ah, food's ready.
No, butter softening.
I actually didn't think it was foods ready. I thought it was something backing up.
No. Just softening butter the fast way.
What are you making?
Bread.
Ah.
Just rolls.
So any TV? Or Micah, do you have any other books you want to talk about?
No.
What about TV?
No.
More Japanese animation.
Actually, we haven't watched TV in the past 2 weeks. Like, literally just not watched television.
I watched the second season of Game of Thrones, speaking of George R. R. Martin. And it was awesome.
How many books does this guy write? Like, it's
not
like,
that many.
Are you serious? Because he's got Skin Trade, right?
Yeah, a lot of
Wasn't he didn't write that though. He just came up with the idea.
Fever Dream or whatever. FEV Fever Dream. Vampire Story.
Like, I also had a Game of Thrones. Like, he'll start a series or whatever, and then it'll be like an anthology with other people writing the stuff. So, like, Wildcard. Like, his name's on it. But, like, he hasn't written anything for Wildcards in, like, a number of years, so.
And he doesn't write that much. Comics, he didn't. I think he just came up with the concepts of those.
Yeah. It's like Sam Jackson's Cold Space or whatever.
You know, next time that we record, Micah, I think I'm going to have you establish the call if I can. See if I can eliminate those outages. They seem to be very cyclical.
It's like every half an hour or so.
It's about every half hour, 40 minutes, and it just like it's like a 10-minute thing of silence.
Not 10 minutes. It's like a minute.
I mean 10 seconds. I can count like 1,001, 1,002.
It's 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's about 10 seconds. We just had one.
Yep, I heard it. It's always when Mike is talking.
George R.R. Martin. You were giving your rant about he doesn't write anything.
It wasn't a rant. It's the truth. He doesn't.
How many books does he have under his name total?
I don't know. 10 or so.
That's it?
Let's go to his page and find out.
That's not a lot. I thought it. See his name. Whatever he's doing it right. He's like the Bob Kane of.
Okay, he has. See, as far as novels go, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, hold up. Nope, that's not true. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He has 13 novels. A couple of short story collections. Two of those novels, though, are like 100-page novellas. So,
what are the ones that are short? What's the title?
The Hidge Knight and the Soren Sword. Those are both Game of Thrones
spinoffs.
Yeah,
I should read those.
Yeah, they're short. You probably won't be seeing those stories. I mean, I don't know why they won't put them in this fill-up content, but like. They're set like hundreds of years, I think 100 or so years before Game of Thrones starts, so. I think. Something like that.
Prequel.
Yeah. Or at least one of them is. Maybe the other one's set a couple of years later. But, and then he has a couple of short story collections. But, like. See, if you can count the short story collection, he has like 20 things to his name. But there's a lot of things with his name on it that aren't written by him.
Yeah, aren't written by him, just created by him.
Right. He apparently also wrote some TV shows. So, like episodes for TV shows.
I think he must be involved in the HBO adaptation of Game of Thrones because he is supplemental material. I think he's overseeing the translation. Or not translation, but the whatever.
So he's not a Stephen adaptation. King. He's Stephen writer. King writer that.
No.
Writes all the time.
No. Yeah.
He is not that writer.
But he's making lots of money. That's cool.
Yes.
I think Stephen King said he writes every day. He never stops.
Yep.
Keeps it sharp. Always working on something.
Mm-hmm. And he also has the ability to finish a book. If you don't like, I don't. Stephen King, I find hit and miss, entirely hit and miss. But like,
mostly. Yeah, I'm not. He overwrites.
Yes, but he finishes books.
Stories. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like a couple. Like there's a thing in like these fantasy writers. Like George R. R. Martin's one of them. There's like Patrick Rothfuss is another like big name fantasy writer who don't write books. Like they start writing a book. Yeah. And it takes them 5 years to finish a damn book. And it's like, I'm sorry, your book ain't that damn good. Like, just finish it. Just put it the fuck out.
If I was making millions and was that rich, I would make one every 5 years. Screw it. And I wouldn't give you much. If I kept on making millions, I'd say, I'll just tell a little bit of this story.
Seriously, can you imagine having George R. Martin's career and all you've written is like 10 books? It's like, damn.
Yep.
Must be nice.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome. Imagine all the free time you have.
Lots of free time.
Now he just gets to sit around and tell people what to do while they and watch your stories be made into movies, basically.
Right.
Tell people what they're doing wrong.
We have a few questions.
Oh.
So this is from Chris Gardner. He says, what's better, manga or comics? I would say comics, of course. They're the same. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yep.
They're just done in different countries, different styles.
Yeah.
I would say that I kind of consider manga like a genre of comics.
Well, like that, even then, like there's a whole lot of different manga though. So like,
yeah, that's true. But they're all a similar style though. Whereas
I don't consider it a genre of comics. I consider it a style of comics. Yeah, like, they all have the same style. Genres are all over the place, man.
Yeah, there's different genres.
And manga is not afraid to. I mean, this is one of the things. If you want to read a manga about somebody boxing, just like Micah talked, that's like just the behind the scenes boxing stuff, you can read that. Like in American comics, American comics, you will never see that because it wouldn't sell. But,
nope.
But when they have the vending machines in Japan, about people cooking, and you want to learn some about how to cook, you could read a comic about it.
That is true.
So, like, you'll get different things, and I can appreciate that. Like,
I wish American comics.
I think that's awesome that
diverse.
The industry will support that in Japan because that would be incredible over here if you could do that. If we had vending machines or comics and people liked them as much, but comics don't sell as they do in there in Japan.
Yeah, I wish we had the sales of Japan.
We get manga from them usually adapted years later, and then we read it and we either like it or don't. But I think to me it's a style because I just don't like the style.
Right.
Yeah, I picked the wrong word there. Yeah, style was what I was going for.
Right.
Which, although there are mangas that are a different style. They have the Gagaka or whatever it's called. I'm not butchering the pronunciation of that.
I really love I love the genre of horror, but when I read Japanese horror, I don't like it so much. And I don't know if I don't know why I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's as extreme as Crossed, but different. I can't explain it.
Well, do you like Japanese horror movies?
Not really.
Yeah, so it's the whole
thing. I think it's a lot of cultural stuff.
But, like, there's, like, what was the Iron Man? Tosatsu, the Iron Man, or I can't remember what it was. But, like, the torture and the mutilation that they show is like freaking crazy.
Yeah, I probably haven't read that one.
Well, that was
a movie.
That was a movie.
Tetsuo, is that it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a style, but I haven't read a lot. I've tried to poke into manga into areas that I do like, and it just hasn't worked. And usually it's horror, and because I've never been into, like, Transformers, and I don't want to know about boxing or cooking. But in basketball, I don't know. I haven't tried the more realistic stuff that Mike has tried. I might like it. Who knows? I don't have time for it. I think that's a better way to put it.
You don't have time for all your American books.
Let alone go to other countries.
This next question kind of...
Oh, no.
This is from Matthew Guy. And I'm not mad at Matthew for saying it. I'm mad at the idea that people think because you're moving on to different genres or different companies that you're maturing. That kind of bothers me. But his question or comment is, the tastes are changing for me from loyal DC to more well-rounded DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image, and Top Shelf. And he's just saying less. He's buying less books from DC and trying out more Image and Hellboy collections and BPRD and Box Office Poison. And I'm like, that's great. I like people to diversify. But in the question, he words it in such a way that I don't like. He says, is anyone else doing similar actions, or does it mean that I'm maturing as a comic book reader? I don't think maturity has anything to do with what you like and what – I think you just have tastes. And, I mean, you guys might disagree with me, but, like, I read everything. But I don't feel like I'm maturing when I read The Crossed or Daymen versus reading Box Office Poison or Superman. I don't.
I guess it depends on how you view the word maturing. Because, like, I guess he
is maturing. There's two ways to take it.
In the sense that, like, he was only reading one thing. And as he's grown in his enjoyment of the medium, he now has the ability to enjoy other things. And so his tastes have matured in the sense that, like, you know, instead
becoming
of
more diverse,
instead of only eating chicken nuggets, now he can eat chicken nuggets and french fries. And so, like, that's maturing, but not like in a, like a hoity-toity, like,
but even in that sense, the word maturing bothers me. Maturing means to me, like, you're
well, that the old stuff is childish.
Yeah,
well, see, I wasn't even thinking of it as like as the old things being childish. I was thinking of more of like a, I only liked this type of thing, and well, that's because I was new to it, and now that I've grown more into it, I can find other things that I like as well, I guess. I don't know.
Well, because, like, kids, when they're young, they'll eat, like, two things, right? Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, you start to diversify and eat more things and more things and more things. So I guess in that sense, it's, like, a similar thing where even, like, when you're a kid, you start out with, like, one type of thing.
Not even as a kid, like, if you're new to anything, right? Like, if you're new, when you start out with any new thing you like.
I would prefer the word broadening your horizons or something to the word maturing.
It sounds like eggs or something. Half a dozen in a basket and six in another basket or something.
Okay, so what was his actual question?
Oh.
Is he maturing as a comic book reader?
He wants to know if he's maturing?
Yeah, because he's broadening his horizons.
You're turning into a giant man baby. But,
you're still reading comics, so you're still an overgrown child.
Yeah. No, but I'm like.
You shouldn't read comics, you'll never be mature.
I mean, like, I think it happens to a lot of people where they, like, you start with, I think the same with any new hobby, you get, like, because when you first start doing it, you go into one thing, right? And maybe it only takes you like 2 years to grow out of it, or maybe it takes you 20 years. But like, at some point in time, you might decide that, like, while you still like this one part of it, you also want to find other things as well. And so, like, maybe you started out and you only listen to Styx, but eventually you also learn that you like to listen to Yes as well, or something, right? Like, instead of maturing, but the longer you do the thing, the more you find other things you like that are similar.
But now that I think about it, like, when it comes to music, I would say you're maturing when you go from listening to only mainstream to listening to stuff outside the mainstream. Only in that mainstream stuff is specifically designed to appeal to the most number of people. Just like superhero comics are designed to appeal to the broadest audience, obviously, because the intent behind them is to make money.
Right.
And just like mainstream music, they try to appeal to as many people as possible because that's what's going to sell. But at some point, you kind of mature past that and say, well, if we step a little bit outside it, there's actually music that's more maybe attuned to my specific tastes that are outside the mainstream out there, and I can find those in these other areas.
Yeah, so I guess maybe it's maturing that you have to go look for it.
Right, you're maturing in that you're now going past the mainstream and finding those books that aren't written for the mainstream but are written specifically to your interests. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's more...
You're discovering more that appeals to you, right? Because you're willing to.
I think a lot of people go through that, though. Like, either they quit whatever they do because they can't find it, or it's not easy for them to find, or they find the other stuff. Like, you may... start reading comics and find out you don't like superheroes and never put in the time to find other stuff and quit.
Right, or, so you either quit or you...
Yeah. You go find. And I like with comics, I think comics is different from a lot of other things because, like, as far as, like, the broad media stuff, because, like, with comics, if you don't know, I think it's harder to find comics that speak directly to you if you don't know than it is to find like music or whatnot, because there's just so there's so much more music out there than there are comics, and the like if you don't, because I can go anywhere to find music to the, like on the internet basically, right? But like when it comes to comics, the digital is getting easier, but like there may not be a comic book shop in your town, and if you do, it may not be exactly accommodating to helping you find what you like if you're new, because they may not let you sit there and just read everything until you find one that, like, you know.
Yeah, that's the difference, though. With the internet, you could find anything you want.
Yes, but if
as long as you're willing to pay for what you want.
Well, the thing is, like,
well, I'm putting the work too.
Not knowing where to look, I think, is one thing too. Like, because like, there's no really good like Pandora for comics or whatever. Like, you put in Spider-Man, and then it gives you Invincible later, right? So, you know.
Amazon does that pretty damn good.
Oh, my Amazon is terrible. My Amazon, I put in Spider-Man and I get Blenders.
I don't know. Mine is pretty damn close when I put something in there.
I think I just buy too much stuff from Amazon. Like, people,
yeah, I don't think the algorithm can figure you out, Micah. It's like, 70s TV and then he's going into this? What is he talking about?
Like, people who buy Spider-Man also buy Blenders and Sailor Moon and a hat. There you go.
I think Sailor Moon has Blenders in it, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it does.
I don't know. I've never read it, but
I don't think the main character.
If there was a Blender in any comic, I would imagine it to be in their manga.
No, I don't think she knows how to use a Blender. I don't think Blenders are her shit.
Maybe you bought a Blender way back in the day.
Maybe I did, and it's trying to sell me more Blenders.
You bought a gift for somebody. Here's a Blender.
Yeah, people who bought Spider-Man Lizard also bought 19 other Spider-Man books, so never mind. But, like, you know how, like, if you go to Pandora, it basically, like, forces you to learn other music?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pandora does a good job because, man, like, the other day I was stressed out, and I said, well, what's going to get me out of this mode of stress? I'm going to listen to some Louis Armstrong. And I was listening to Billie Holiday and all kinds of stuff, and it was calming me down. I was like, yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah, I wish I really, at this point, now that I think about it, well, I think what comics needs most is a subscription system to something where, like, I can pay Comixology or someone, like, $20 a month. I know that's high, but, like, maybe it needs to be the high to begin with, where, like, I can give them $20 a month, and then I can just read what the fuck ever, right? And I'll start with Spider-Man, and it'll tell me to read Invincible later, because if you like Spider-Man, maybe you'll like Invincible. And if you like Invincible, maybe you'll like something else, you know, like go through.
Well, it would be cool things. Though if they had like a subscription service, like you pay,
and I could just read it
$20 a month. You can read what it's like Netflix. You can read as much as you want.
Yep.
Right, and you don't own any of it.
You could only have one at a time. In other words, while you're reading Spider-Man, you can't be reading Batman. You know what I mean?
Right. So you just can pull up whatever you want and read it.
Finish one, you move to the next issue. Yep. And usually that's the way it is with the DVD rentals, is you could go as fast as their shipping and stuff allows. Like, somebody that's real efficient might be able to get like 8, 10, 15 CDs in one month, and somebody that's not efficient like me would get like 2.
One every 6 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would be – I think it – because then it all balances out, right, Micah, on average?
Yeah.
You're paying that fee. Somebody's going to really take advantage of it, and then there's other people that are going to pay that fee, and maybe things happen during the month. They can only do one. They can only download one comic.
Like, I wish that, like, Comixology could do it, because then I could have, like, an entire library of comics instead of just having, like, Marvel or DC. Like, because if Marvel did it, that'd be one thing, and if DC did it, that'd be one thing. But if Comixology was able to do it, and you can read Marvel and DC and Image and Monkey Skull or whatever their name is, and all those other people.
So I think in the term that Matthew Guy meant, I just fighting with the word maturing, but that's semantics, right? So I think you are growing as a reader then, if you're exploring what other genres and
right, because you're finding what appeals to you most.
Yeah, and I'm
But the thing that's glorious about expanding your horizons, it makes Superman that much better when you come back to it. Because if if all you do is read Superman, you could get into a funk. And then, right. but if you read Superman and then you go read Box Office Poison, then you come back to Superman, it's that much better because you're that's not all you're reading. But the next question is from Paul Price. Who would win, King Shark or Jabberjaw?
Jabberjaw.
I'd say King Shark, but Jabberjaw. King Shark, it's like
no chance.
Jabberjaw is like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I remember Jabberjaw, but I don't remember what he actually.
Nothing. He's
did
like
he have any powers or anything?
No, he's a giant shark.
It's a giant shark that hung out with the Teen Angels or whatever.
Yeah, God, man. That show was bad.
Jabberjaw.
That show was
and he sounded like
show.
He sounded like Curly Moe from the Three Stooges.
There were so many of those Scooby-Doo knockoff type shows.
Mysteries underwater.
Yeah. We'll just make him a shark and then put these kids under the water. It'll be great. You're like, no, it won't.
And then on the other stream, you had Captain Caveman.
Yep.
Who was the same thing, except it's a caveman now.
Yep.
You could solve the mysteries.
That's.
Except they didn't have an animal.
And I watched every one of them.
Like he had a buggy.
Spaghetti and Meatballs was. Did you ever watch that cartoon? That was only on like for 1 year.
I've never watched Spaghetti and Meatballs.
You gotta look them up. They're like they're like Cheech and Chong that that were on Saturday morning, but they were surfers.
Really?
Yeah, it's a cool song. Are you ready for meatballs, spaghetti? Daryl would love it because it's spaghetti.
It's like his kind of show.
Yeah.
Was one of them really fat?
Yeah, one was really fat. It was a really fat beatnik dude.
And there's like a blonde girl?
Yeah, and then a skinny dude.
All right, yeah. Oh, because he's Meatballs, and then the skinny dude is Spaghetti.
Yeah.
And there's a dog who plays the drums.
That's right.
Yep.
Some.
I'm watching the intro or something. It is incredible.
It was incredible, man. I thought it was revolutionary in the day.
Man, that's not weird at all.
That was all the questions.
We should get more questions. Ask us questions.
Yeah, ask us questions.
I'll call yours stupid, personally.
Micah thinks everything's stupid.
Not everything. No, I just find, like, the which one's better to be often obnoxious. Because I think sometimes people take it personally or whatever, and, like, and there's, like, cultural things that are tied up into it as well.
Yeah, I think If I know Chris, I think he's. I never met him, but I think he's in the Denver area. And
you should meet him.
Yeah, I should. I think he was at the Denver Con for one of the days, but I think he's really into manga and like anime.
I am more into manga than anime.
I think he's asking from that perspective. I think.
Well, even still, I just found people get weird about it. I guess they also probably care more than I do.
If you take things seriously, it's kind of ridiculous, I think.
I think they're both comic books. I think there's a lot of good manga and a lot of terrible manga. And there's a lot of good comic books and a lot of terrible comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, there are so many. I'm reading, if you notice, I'm reading a lot of older books. And I'm only talking about the ones I feel like are worth talking about. Like, I found the Jam to be interesting enough to, like, mention, but I've read some other books throughout the past couple weeks that are just, like, fucking hell, dude.
What was that? What was one of them? Because I probably loved it.
I don't even know. Like, I knew that there's a stretch of Green Lantern in, like, the third volume, and I don't know what they were doing, but, like, it was, like, following around Guy Gardner and Nort, and those stories are just bad.
Those are great.
Those are terrible.
Gnort?
Yeah,
it's a sweet. It's awesome.
I think I just hate Guy Gardner so much that like I just can't stand it. Like he's on the page, Like, that incarnation of Guy Gardner may be the worst comic book character of all time. I can't
stand it. And that one, was he after the punch or before the punch?
I think after the punch.
Okay, so he was kind of not as much of an asshole?
Oh, no, maybe before the punch, because he's a super asshole.
I like Guy Gardner. I'm a huge fan. Like, any Green Lantern to take his girlfriend to a porn movie is pretty awesome.
Well, he's still single at this point, and he's a mess.
I will say that TV-wise, I am watching Under the Dome. I think it's the only TV show I'm watching right now. I like it a lot. Like, I really like the concepts and stuff. The acting is atrocious. I like find all the characters, the people that are acting as those characters. Like, the character themselves is like awesome. It's just the actors that are doing such a bad job.
Interesting. I still haven't.
But I really dig it. Like, I like to watch it. I'll keep watching it.
I didn't like the book.
I'm watching True Blood, but I'm just watching that out of habit now.
I've heard that it does some things that are not fantastic. To me,
True Blood at its prime was awesome when there wasn't as many monsters and stuff in the universe.
Well, before the fairies came in?
Yeah, it's like right now there's fairies, there's werewolves, there's vampires, there's half fairies, half vampires. It's just getting to the point of ridiculousness. So instead of focusing on the vampire genre, it's like, everybody's got powers. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little different. And I like reading comics where everybody's got powers, but I don't know. I'm doing it out of habit. If I had to stop watching, it wouldn't kill me. I'd rather watch Under the Dome. And the acting's, like, True Blood acting's good. I mean, it's awesome acting. And Under the Dome is horrible, but it's a genre, like, post-apocalyptic. Like, what are we going to do? We're in a freaking glass. It's pretty cool.
Tomb Raider sucks. There you go, if you wanted a comic that wasn't any good.
I like Tomb Raider.
The comic from, like, the...
Top Cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
But I like everything, so...
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, Barb wants you to talk about The Killing Bill. She's
like, The Killing.
That show pisses me off because Bill will watch a show. He should just watch the first episode until it's collected. It just and he's following this TV show. He can't follow a comic, but he can follow a TV
show. Ooh, I have a TV show to talk about, too, after The Killing.
I should put Barb on. Hey, come over here. You talk to Bill. Because I don't like The Killing. I'm just... here, you put
it... crazy.
Talk to him about The Killing. Hello.
Hello, Barb.
How's
Welcome
it going?
To the show.
Thank you. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good, good.
So this season of The Killing...
is really awesome.
It is awesome.
I know, I listened to the last episode of Geek Brunch, and I'm like, Bill didn't say anything about
it. Can I mention it?
No.
Well, it's because these losers don't watch it, so.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, because I think the day you recorded was the day of that really, really good episode with Holder, where he just acted his ass off.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Did you see the last episode?
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah. That was a depressing episode.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Oh, my gosh.
What happened?
Even Derek was posting on that one on Facebook. He said it emotionally drained him.
Yeah, and it was weird because it was like almost a standalone episode where it was just about the
it all took place in the prison. The whole thing was in the prison.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, I didn't know how that was going to go. And then it's like, okay, time's run out. Uh-oh. Now what? So, yeah, that was good. Yeah, it's just a great show. The season's just really, really good. I haven't heard if they're going to do another season or not.
It might depend on how this one does. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're lucky to get this one, so, yeah.
I know.
Because originally they said it was canceled, right? But then they...
Yeah, some it was officially canceled.
Yeah, then they brought it back, and thank goodness, because this was the best season. For sure.
You like this one more than the last season?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the first season was really good. Because, I mean, what's her name? Michelle Forbes just was really, really good in that first season.
Yeah, she was amazing.
But she was missing a lot of the second season. So I kind of missed her being in there. But then this season just, I mean, Joel Kinnaman's just really great this season.
Yeah, and the one difference between, so the first, I mean, the first two seasons you could almost call the first season because it was just one ongoing storyline. Mm-hmm. But that one had both the investigation side and then the political, all the political stuff going on.
Right.
But this season is just the crime and the investigation of the crime. So it's more focused, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more focused on the main characters, too.
Right, right. Like the whole transformation, how Holder was, you know, changed where he was suit and tie guy and not smoking. And he was, you know, at the beginning of this season. And then as the more he hangs out with, what's her name? He just starts breaking down again. So,
well, she did too. She, like, yeah. When they're together, they feed off each other.
Oh yeah. Each other's misery and angst. But yeah, tonight's the 2-hour finale.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That was another thing that was weird. It's like they had that standalone episode like right in the middle of the, and I knew they were wrapping it up soon. So I'm like, I almost feel like they were wasting time. It's like, get on with the investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just kind of okay, this is going to happen and we're just going to focus on this. And then this episode will probably solve a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But you want to say, why isn't this little boy speaking? Why is he not talking? I mean, I don't know. That little boy was driving me crazy.
Yeah, and they still haven't explained. Have they explained why he drew those pictures?
Well, apparently he'd been to that place because that's where they found all the bodies.
Right.
So he knew something about that. Like either he followed the killer or something. But yeah, I don't know. They haven't really.
They'd be asking him more like, why'd you draw that?
I know. Yeah, anything. Like, who did you see? Did you see your father? Hello? That just bugged me. Like, why is he saying that he did it, first of all? And then why isn't the kid saying, hey, that wasn't my dad. It was somebody else.
Right.
That's just like, ah. But, yeah. I like how that little bald cop, though, he wussed out at the execution. Yeah.
And I like him, too, because that actor, blanking on his name, Hugh something.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on a lot of shows that I've liked, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like him.
I don't remember him from anything that I've seen.
He's been on a lot of Canadian shows. He was on Durham County, and he was on, he's on that Flashpoint show, if you've ever seen that.
No.
It was a Canadian cop show, but they showed it on CBS or something.
Oh, okay. I think I remember it being on, but I didn't watch it.
That's a good one. It had him and it had Enrico, whatever his name is, from Veronica Mars.
Okay. Yeah. I just wonder where that's going to go. See if it's the Holder's partner or if it's that baby face cop, the young cop that's in the guard that's in there or who it's going to be. Because he talks about, you know, that one cop, he talked about taking care of his baby and this and that, but you never really saw anything. Like, who's he talking about?
The one about the Battlestar Galactica guy?
Yeah. So,
I don't know. We'll see.
I know. It's so good, though.
Yep, everyone needs to watch that when it...
Definitely.
At some point.
Definitely. I mean, that one episode with Holder was just, I mean, just the look on his face when he opened the cab trunk and when he's just sitting on the couch and just, oh, gosh, it was crazy.
And I like she just went into his apartment because she was like, I knew you weren't going to answer the door. So,
so I just used my key. Yep. Yeah.
And I think that people could watch this season without watching the first two if they wanted to.
I think so.
It's pretty self-explanatory. I think you get to learn the characters well enough, I think, within this one season.
Yeah, there's a lot of explanation with her and her background and her kid and everything. Yeah, I agree.
So I think people should watch this season and then go back and watch the first two.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's a plan. Everybody do it or else. Okay. Well, cool. Well, enjoy the finale.
You too.
And I'll give this back to Mikey. Talk to you guys later.
Bye, Barb.
Bye, Barb.
Bye, Mika. Bye.
Mika, you said you had a TV show that you watched.
Yeah. I watched Whose Line Is It Anyway? They brought the show back again.
Did they? For yep. the 100th time?
Yep. It is now on the CW. The host is Aisha Tyler, who I guess might be known for being Lana in Archer. The cartoon show. And she's done other things, but she's funny. And it's mostly the same. It's like, you know, it's Wayne Brady and Colin Ryan and then like another person who's randomly whatever. They've had a couple people from Vampire Diaries on who were actually funny, and it surprised me because on Vampire Diaries, they're not so much the funny people. But like,
Aisha Tyler was on Friends, right?
Was she on Friends? I never watched Friends.
I think she was Joey's girlfriend.
Ah.
On one season.
He had a girlfriend? I thought he just slept around.
He did, but I think it was near the end. He got a girlfriend.
I have now in my lifetime, after the 4th of July, I have seen one episode of Friends in my entire life. So...
Aren't you so mature?
I am quite mature. I have moved beyond Friends. Both the show and the need for real life friends. I'm a different
this is a concept.
Micah is more mature than I am. That's for sure. Levels of maturity.
So who are the comedians on the show, did you say?
Wayne Brady, Colin, what's his face, and Ryan, what's his other face?
So the same guys.
The same dudes from before, and then they have... rotating fourth person a lot, a couple of whom have been from, like I said, from Vampire Diaries, and that would confuse me because,
and they're comedians,
apparently, so or funny enough.
I thought Vampire Diaries was a serious show.
It is. Let me see if I can find.
It tries to be serious, but it's pretty hilarious.
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious because it doesn't succeed all the time, but like, it's more serious than True Blood ever is.
It's very melodramatic.
Yeah, it's super melodrama, but, you know.
But it's a CW show, so.
It's a CW show. So it does, everybody's super gorgeous all the time, and, you know.
Suffering.
Lots of personal
angst. Lots of angst.
Yeah, nothing bad ever actually happens until something bad really does happen, but it's not that big a deal. So yeah, let me see if, I'm trying to find... Poopy Sticks. Why is it so gosh darned hard to figure out? Oh, because I'm looking at the British show. No wonder I can't find what's happening. Like, these are... I don't know any of these people.
You know, like, some of them. Some of the original guys were on the British one, too.
Well, yeah, Ryan was on the original. Colin was on the original. Wayne Brady was on there occasionally.
Man, they've been, like, doing this for, like, 20 years, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, especially Ryan and Colin have been on the show for... It's, like, since the beginning. Like, almost since the beginning, since, like, was it 88, 80, somewhere around there?
Yeah,
so,
in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really, that's impressive. That, like, I'm surprised that the show, especially as, like, when reality TV took off a lot, I'm surprised that this kind of show didn't make a comeback to some degree. Because,
but reality shows still have real people.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's cheap and easy to do, I guess. Like, it doesn't cost much to put four comedians on a stage and have them dance around them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really, you're paying, like, you pay Aisha Tyler, and then you pay Wayne Brady and Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles.
Five actors.
Yeah, like, And then you just go. You don't have to hire script writers. You don't have to hire, like, you know, a lot of the other stuff that you normally need.
No set or costumes or anything. Just makeup in a studio.
Yep.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out the name of this lady. Nope, that's a dude. This got really boring. I understand. I guess
I'll talk about something stupid that I've been watching. Speaking of reality shows, we've been watching the latest season of MasterChef, which is the first ever season of MasterChef I've ever seen.
What is MasterChef?
Is that where they have those three pretentious guys with the glasses?
Three pretentious judges and a bunch of home chefs.
Yeah, I don't like that show. I don't like that guy with the glasses or the other dude. The only one I like is Ramsay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got your boy Gordon Ramsay on there.
Yeah, I don't like those other two dudes. Barb watches that. I just can't stomach it.
The guy with glasses is funny. The way when he eats the food, the way he holds like the fork and eats it. And
yeah,
he looks up in the distance when he eats. It's so pretentious. It's awesome.
And then he has to like wear different colored glasses and shit. What is he, like Elton John?
And then the other guy, the bald guy, he like eats food and he looks at the people like he hates them.
Yeah, he wants to punch him in the face after he takes a bite.
Hey, just look at that. You serious? Awesome.
So, are you gonna watch more of it?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
It's almost over, isn't it? There's only four people left, I think.
Yeah, it's getting close to the end. Yeah, it's one of the it's a show that you can watch while doing other things, so it's a nice background show.
Have you seen these toys, Micah, for Pacific Rim?
No, are there any good? I haven't seen any. I saw a cheap toy, but I haven't seen any like.
These are 7-inch deluxe figures. Mm. They look pretty cool. They only have two of them. They have the crimson one and then the main one.
Right.
Then they got the Kaiju knife head.
I would like a 12-inch.
It would be awesome if they were bigger.
Yeah.
Than 7 inches, because they're like 30. They're like 40 bucks a figure.
That's what she said.
For seven.
No.
Inches.
Yeah. I kept saying I wanted the 12-inch, and I kept thinking, exactly.
Where do you want it, Micah?
On my shelf.
Okay.
I wish I had the 12-inch instead of the 7-inch.
Yes.
Don't we all?
In my pocket. And everybody would know I had a 12-inch one.
Mm-hmm. All right, movies.
I watched Fast and the Furious.
Again?
This time I watched Too Fast, Too Furious, and Tokyo Drift in the same night. So
he's obsessed.
Not obsessed. I decided. Claire has never, or she doesn't. She hasn't seen them in a number of years, at least.
Were there any characters in the latest movie from Tokyo Drift? Does it so it actually exists in canon? I thought that was like the huge flop.
It was a huge flop, but it's the reason the series continued on, though. It was a huge flop on a box office, but the DVD sales were so big that they decided that they needed to reboot the franchise in a way. And so they brought back Han. Yeah, as Claire says, because Sun Kang is the most attractive person ever, which is factually correct. They've done scientific studies on this.
He's attractive?
Sun Kang is the prettiest human being on the planet at times, it seems.
I think Thor is the guy who plays Thor. That's a good-looking dude, man.
He is a pretty good-looking dude, but I'm telling you, like...
he has nothing on this guy for
Tokyo Drift. He has nothing. The guy who plays Han.
So that's what we're going to fight this one out, Micah, or what?
Yeah, we're going to fight this one out. Yeah. I have definite opinions on this one. No, they decided to bring... So that's the reason that, like, the last movies have been prequels, because in a rookie mistake, he killed off Han in Tokyo Drift because he thought it would add emotional drama. In fact, it was just a stupid move. And so they brought the character back and made 4, 5, and 6 all prequels to Tokyo Drift, because that makes any sense at all. But yeah. The movie... Like, when you put Tokyo Drift in contact with 4, 5, and 6, it makes so much less sense. Because, like, Han's character, after being, like, this, like, Like, he has $100 million to his name, and he's spending his time like hanging out with like this high school kid, who, like this fake Yakuza kid or whatever, and then hanging out with like this white dude like from Alabama. Like, it makes no sense when he's been robbing banks in Rio and fighting helicarriers with cars, that now he's just riding around Tokyo like drug running and whatever. So it's really dumb. So, but anyway, I like those movies. All crime and throughout the entire world is committed with cars. I think it's an awesome premise that needs to be elaborated on further. It knows what it is. I just appreciate a thing that knows what it is.
I think most movies think they know what they are.
Yeah, most of them don't know what they are, though. They're trying to be something else. Like, this movie has found what, like, this series as a whole has found what it is that makes it work.
It's cars that race.
Well, it's not just the cars that race, because the movies like Torque have totally failed out, and they don't aren't nearly as good.
Oh, you have to have a bald guy in it.
even like the 70s or whatever, like even the Steve McQueen driving movies, like you have to have like at least some sort of charismatic presence to go along with the cars that are cool and race fast, and like the world has to be consistent within itself over a long period of time, and these movies are very internally consistent in that if you're going to create the biggest crime of all time, you need a team of really fast drivers. That's it. That's all you need is a team of really fast drivers, and you can do whatever you want in the world. Nothing can stop you. It's pretty fantastic. So, yeah.
Well, I watched The Wolverine, and I thought it was pretty good. I liked it a lot. I like how the X-Men movies are their own continuity. That's what I like.
I am so terrified about what the hell? Days of Future Past.
How are you terrified? Come on, that's like a word that like you're scared to death, Micah. Come on. You're not
I am terrified.
Days of Future Past are not gonna it doesn't terrify you. It
terrifies me.
Just don't see it. It's
looking at all those characters on the poster, there's so many people on the poster. That poster scares me. I see it and I get anxiety. It's just crowded. It's just so crowded. Like, oh my God.
I think it's gonna be awesome.
I have no opinion on the quality of the movie. I'm just saying all those characters scare me.
The thing about Wolverine
give me nightmares.
That I liked is it was pretty simple, I thought. And it didn't introduce like a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, it had a silver samurai and it had Makio or whatever his woman is. Yeah, from the Wolverine 4-issue miniseries. And it introduced this other character that I didn't even know she existed. Maybe she does exist or she doesn't exist, but I thought it was a good movie. It was like Wolverine just kind of wanting to die, and then he goes to Japan to see the last days of some guy he saved during here, you know, when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. And it was pretty good. I liked it. It was a cool plot. And they even have Viper from wasn't it Madame Hydra or whatever Viper that had supposedly had his baby or his child?
I think so.
The one with the green lips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good. I didn't like it as much as Pacific Rim, but I think I like Pacific Rim because it was something I hadn't seen before.
It is. That's a big movie too. But like, yeah. Seeing the Wolverine is
something. I liked Wolverine better than Man of Steel. I did.
Because I thought the one thing that I'm glad that I hear that it's a simpler movie, because I can't even imagine it being as confusing as Wolverine Origins. Not confusing, but Wolverine's Origins tried to do so much.
I like all the damn comic movies, I'll be honest with you. Don't listen to me. What have you watched from the library?
I don't know if I watched any. I was busy watching Game of Thrones.
That hooked you and
10 hours of television.
You were done.
Yeah, that took all my time.
So in season 2, what do you like about it? Speak more about Game of Thrones.
Let's see. I have to remember all that they accomplished in this one. So they had It was where the dragon lady was at that rich town. I don't know character names.
You can call her Danny.
What's her name?
Daenerys.
Yeah, that's too hard. Khaleesi?
Khaleesi is what they call her.
Yeah, Khaleesi was at that rich town, so that was her storyline. And then the snow guy. What's his first name?
Jon Snow?
Yeah, Jon Snow was on a trek into the north.
That's what he does.
They fight they meet up with the wild people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets the girl, wild person.
Does she say that you know nothing thing? Does that happen in the TV show as well? Which she says, about, like, you know nothing, Jon Snow, and then tells him this like ad nauseum like a thousand times. In the books, whenever he meets her, he will say a dumb thing, and she'll say, you know nothing, Jon Snow. And then this continues to happen again for, like, another 400 times.
And I think they'd cut down on that. I mean, she did lecture him a lot about how he didn't understand how they were free and he was not free and stuff like that.
I wish they kept the line, you know nothing, because I think it's uttered in the book at least 1,400 times.
I'm sure it was in there. You probably notice it more in print.
Right. Yeah, no, it's probably one of those things where, like, you see it, like, you're like, all right, I think he understands that he knows nothing at this point in time.
He's learned. And then they had the cool thing with the young girl, Arya, or whatever her name is.
Hey, you got a name.
did I get it right?
Yeah.
Wow. Her and the three, she saved those three guys, and then the one guy is like doing favors for her. So that was good. It's good. It was enjoyable. I liked it as much as the first season. So I think they've kept the level up. So it's still interesting. The one thing I need to do is see these names in print, though, because it's so hard to follow all the names when you don't actually see them. At least for me.
Seems like there's a lot of characters, so.
There's about 5 million.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters, and they're all from different towns, and there's different families, and it's kind of hard to keep track of it all.
It was like reading Deathmatch, except you didn't have the help key in the back.
It needs a roll. Everything needs roll calls. Everything ever needs a roll call in front of it, so I know who's appearing when, and I need to know the character names and their alias and their powers. Like, Jon Snow knows nothing from the north. Got it. Cool. Done. Move on. X-Men can do it. Why can't everybody else do it? That's all I'm saying.
It's harder to do on a... I guess you can do it on a show.
No, you can do it on a show. F that. Or at least make me an iPad app or something. I can, like, scroll through the bottom and give me everybody's names whenever they're hopping up.
Yeah, I'm sure in the additional features they cover some of that, but...
Screw the additional features.
Yeah, who's going to watch that?
Put it on the screen. You're watching 10 hours of TV. I'm not watching extra stuff about it. Put it on my screen. Have it like pop-up video, like the VH1 pop-up video thing.
Bloop.
Yeah, bloop. This is Daenerys. She's the mother of dragons. You'll hear that another 100 times. Bloop, bloop. This is Eddard Stark. He's a moron. Watch his head get cut off. Bloop, bloop. Prince Joffrey, jackass. Bloop, bloop. And it just keeps going on. Look at Sansa. She's going to cry. You just have that happen all the time, and then you'll be good. Even though, I will say this, I did not find it... I guess this would be the difference between reading it and watching it. I did not find it nearly as hard to follow as a lot of people claim to.
But, I think it's different if you see the names in print versus just hearing them.
Yeah.
I guess it depends if you're more visual or...
Right.
I'm pretty visual, so for me to understand something completely, if I see it on paper, I can understand it, no problem. But if I just hear it, I need... But it's not reinforced.
A lot of people read the book, so like get 5 books into it. Like, I don't remember what happened. It's like, well, I think part of it is you have to understand what's important and what's not important. And so much of it pretends to have import.
Okay, like, in the book.
Because, Yeah, like so much of it pretends to be important, but a lot of it isn't. Like there's a minute detail that's important, but like on the grand scheme of things, like about where a character was at a certain point in time, isn't important until it becomes important. And when it becomes important again, the book will let you know that it's important again. And I feel like the TV show probably will as well. Like when a character shows up after having not seen him for like 8 episodes, I feel like they'll
remind you what they're doing.
Yeah, they'll fill you in on like, oh, I know you haven't seen him in a while, but here's why they matter. To some degree, at least, I think. Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it hasn't been bad, though, in terms of following what's going on.
I'm just wondering when it runs off the rails. Not like, like, no.
I'll probably watch it at some point, because it's on HBO Go, so.
Yep.
Right. It's worth watching. It's really, well, really well done.
Kind of want to see Boardwalk Empire before that.
Is that show over now? Or?
I have no idea. I like You See Me. I like that guy. He's a nut job. And I still got to finish watching The Girls. I got to see where they ended up in. I think we're in the second season somewhere.
Gotta finish these shows, Mike.
Yeah, I still haven't finished Clone Wars either.
That ended like a while ago.
It's still on the DVD.
At one point in time, I was behind you, and then
the only one that I caught up on was Young Justice, and I still have one more to go in there.
Oh, you still, that's over. Oh, I have a show to talk about real quick. Have either of you seen Beware the Batman yet?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Beware the Batman is the new Batman show on Cartoon Network now. And I don't know how I feel about it yet, like as a whether or not I really enjoy it. I've seen the first 2 episodes. The animation is good. I'm not sure how I feel about the character designs entirely. I like that we're using Grant Morrison's stupid villains. Like the first episode, you get Professor Pig and Mr. Frog as the bad guys. In the second episode, you get Magpie, who I'm not as excited about. I thought the Magpie episode was the Magpie parts of it were just pretty stupid. But the theme song is good, and I don't know. It's a Batman cartoon, and it's like I just don't know if it. I think I need to see more episodes of it to see like what the tone of it is going to be throughout the entirety of the series.
To see if it appeals to you.
Yeah.
Is it very computer graphic-y looking?
Oh yeah, it's CG. Totally, yeah. CG. It's all CG.
Okay.
But it's not like I don't know. It's a bit dark, like not like gritty dark, but like actually dark.
Takes place at night.
It is a Batman show, so you expect darkness. But it's like there's a couple things where like I wonder if as the show goes on, if they'll realize how dark some of it is and lighten up on parts of it. Because like Batman the Animated Series, like the '90s show, did that too. Like some of the beginning of it is just actually just too dark. And as the show goes on, it lightens up some, so you can actually see more of things on the screen and whatnot. But I think I might like the show. Alfred is like 40 years younger than you normally used to see him. He's ex-MI6 spy person, and he's like a giant bruiser of a dude. Like, he's massive. Like, he's bigger than Batman, like as far as bulk goes, and I think he's taller than Batman too.
It's like Batman Earth 1.
Yeah, actually, yes. Now that you mention it, it's like that. So he's charged with protecting Bruce and keeping Bruce safe. And Batman is at first resistant, but in about 30 minutes changes his tune. And then we meet Katana. I don't know if she's not Katana. She's not Katana yet. She's just whatever her name is. I don't know Katana's name. What is her, Mike, do you know her name as a character? Like what her alias is?
No, I don't. I should. No. I'm embarrassed.
I have no
You're
idea.
You're going to just put me, embarrass me here.
I didn't mean to. I have no idea what Katana, I just call her Katana. Whatever.
That's because most of the time you see her, she doesn't have an alias.
Yeah. She's
I mean,
Katana.
Well, her new series she does, but like every time we saw her in Outsiders.
Yeah, she was just Katana.
She was almost Katana almost 24/7.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why, like, we don't get to see her in Katana mode yet, but at one point in time, Alfred hurts his ankle, and so he can't be the proper bodyguard anymore, so he hires Katana to be the bodyguard. She doesn't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman as of yet, but I'm figuring that she will learn soon enough, because she's in the title sequence as a crime fighter, so I figure they'll figure that out, probably, like, in the next episode, if I had to guess.
That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, I think it's worth... I mean, it's not terrible. Like, I know that.
I'd like to see what they do with Magpie.
Oh, Magpie's dumb.
Well, but she was pretty popular back in the day because that's when she came in the Man of Steel series with John Byrne.
I've never been a huge Magpie fan. That might be
popular. Well, she doesn't really show up much. I mean,
nope.
The only time I ever remember her being big was, like I said, when she was launched. She was pretty popular when...
I like that she's here, at least, though, because I like that... I feel like they're going for... I just hope that we can go without seeing the Joker and Penguin and Riddler for as long as possible. Not because I don't like them. But, like, I have seen a lot of Joker and Riddler and Penguin stories. Like, if I can go at least a whole season without any of those dudes, that'd be really great.
Well, you know what else I saw is the Lone Ranger.
Oh,
I saw it. I saw that at, I think, without Barb because I had a day off. Mm. And, man, I liked it. I was wondering what was up with the cannibal rabbits, but other than that was
very believable.
Other than the cannibal rabbits, I liked it.
I liked it.
I mean, it wasn't as bad as people say. I will say that the last scene was pretty awesome, where he's like riding a horse on a train. That was freaking cool. Like, it was just good effects.
See, that movie did bomb.
That movie did wrong because it didn't know its identity, I think. It didn't know whether to be funny or if it wanted to be serious or and I think they went the wrong route. I think they should have went for a more serious tone on the Lone Ranger and it would have been better. I think they should have hired a real Native American to be Tonto.
That would have helped.
But it wouldn't have done as well. People go to see Johnny Depp, so I can understand why they did it.
But I'm wondering if that, like, I mean, they go to see Johnny Depp, but it seems to be, like, outside of Pirates. Like, because Dark Shadows didn't do that well. At least not as well as they wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the last one I can think of. I know he did something else, too. Never mind, Alice in Wonderland made $1 billion.
Yeah, he's a draw.
Couldn't you make Johnny Depp the Lone Ranger?
You could have made anybody the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, cause I heard.
I would like to see a Quentin Tarantino Lone Ranger. I think it'd be awesome.
It'd be 4 hours long.
It'd be 4 hours long. It was awesome.
It would have made more money, though.
It would have made money. You're right about that.
This one didn't do bad. It just did bad for what Disney expected it to do. Like, Lone Ranger has never been a successful franchise outside of that everybody knows him. It had a good radio show, a good TV show.
It was successful in the 50s or somewhere.
Yeah, I know, but like they relaunched it that in the 80s, I think, and that movie tanked up the ass, but I liked it. But
you guys know, history note, did you know that the Lone Ranger, like the actual, like, real life, I guess, inspiration for the Lone Ranger was a black dude?
No, I didn't. I thought you were going to say the relationship between the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet. And I was saying, yeah, I know that.
Everyone knows that. No, I'm saying that Like, apparently there was a black cowboy in the whatever time period this was who had a Native American sidekick, and they basically ran around kicking everyone's ass a lot. In, I forget what years those were, and that was the inspiration for the Lone Ranger.
You know what my favorite part of the movie was of Lone Ranger was the little boy that it's like a flashback movie, right? There's it like takes place in 1937 or something like that, where a kid goes to a circus and he's going into this old west ride or whatever you want to call it, where they just have like stuffed buffalo and stuff like that, and he sees Tonto and he's there, and Tonto's really alive Indian, and he's talking to the kid about, you know, the Lone Ranger, because the Lone Ranger comes in with the mask. That I liked, because whoever played that kid had like the excitement, like if somebody was telling you a story of the Lone Ranger, he was just such a good actor at that. He like gets excited when I talk comics. That's what he was like, excited. I like to see excitement. You guys probably wouldn't like it. I like it. I thought it was all right.
I don't know if I
wasn't like regretful that I went to go see it.
Mike is getting worse and worse. I didn't totally regret. I didn't just cry into my lap after seeing the movie. So
yeah, well, everybody shit on it like really bad, and I don't think it was that bad.
I can't see some negative.
RIPD bad.
I liked it.
I enjoyed myself. I got excited when they started to play the theme.
Probably make a better TV show.
I'd see a sequel if they did it.
I would. I don't know if they're going to be doing one of those.
No, because it was listed as one of the top five flops.
Well, it got pushed out by RIPD, so there's that.
Yeah, RIPD was number one. But I go see that too, so I don't. But I'll wait for that one. I do want to see Red 2 was a flop, and I really want to see that.
I forgot that it even came out. Like, I honestly didn't. Like, it came out the same week as something. Yeah, because I think people were like me, and they just didn't know it was out.
Yeah.
I do want to go see that.
That was a case of failed marketing.
I might go see that tomorrow. I have a day off. I was
gonna say, that's got to be still out, right? Because it just must have.
Yes, I think it's still out in theaters. I feel like that movie should have either come out like in a couple months, whenever there was less like that, or like earlier in the year.
That was bad pushing the movie out when it couldn't survive.
Yeah,
should have come out like in October or November. I think it would have done awesome.
So, how many movies are out now that are based on comics?
A lot, like 400.
Like currently in the theater.
RIPD is out. That's based on a comic.
Wolverine.
Two Guns.
Red 2. It's
like all of them.
RIPD.
I might go see Two Guns. What the hell? Just so I can like.
People seem to like that one.
Yeah, that it's like right at 50%. They say that the dynamic between the two is really good.
That's all you need for a buddy cop movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like two cars racing.
Yeah. Just like that.
And I think technically wasn't Smurfs the comic first?
Was it?
I don't remember. That I don't know.
Well, it's like European. I think it first came out in...
Oof.
Peyo was the guy who did it, right? Peyo.
The Belgian comic series.
It might have been a toy.
1958. So...
I'll count it.
You can count the Smurfs. I'm down for that.
I saw Turbo. I forgot I saw Turbo.
Shit. How was Turbo? I heard it looks boring. It looks boring as all hell.
This is stupid.
You didn't like it?
It was okay. Kids like it. It's good for kids. I mean,
that's what it's made for.
Yeah, but like, as a kids movie, it works.
Would you have rather seen Despicable Me 2, maybe? I don't know. I honestly have no idea, but like...
Well, who chose the movie?
My kids.
They chose that over Despicable Me?
They never... I don't think Despicable Me wasn't in the theater at...
Okay. That movie seems to have made itself...
The choices were Turbo or Monsters. My son doesn't like monsters, like even like scary stuff. So
Pacific Rim.
They, you know what? It would have been less scary than Monsters Incorporated too.
Your kids are like getting that age where they could go see Pacific Rim.
Like,
they could ride a roller coaster. What the hell? I would...
I know you were watching Friday the 13th when you were in diapers.
No, when I was about 7, I saw Friday the 13th.
My goodness.
But Barb was watching Blood Beach, and she was just in a diaper. She remembers it. Motel Hell, they used to take us all to that stuff. That we had parents that weren't afraid.
I mean, I saw, like, Cujo? Is that the dog? What's the name of the Stephen King dog movie?
Yeah, Cujo.
Yeah, I saw that one when I was a youngster. I thought it was dumb.
I saw Poltergeist when I was a kid.
I remember my parents taking me to see Tribute with Jack Lemmon, and there were titties in there, and I was like, wow! The movie sucked. Like, to see that as a kid, it wasn't very good. But when the boobies came on, I was like, those are the first TV boobies, movie boobies I ever saw. My mom was like in shock, because it was like a PG movie, and there were boobies.
Back then they had...
Yeah, dude, back then, man.
My mom was like, oh my God. And I still tease my mom. And I was like, my mom, you took me to my first booby movie.
Caddyshack was on the TV at the house. We went to a cookout yesterday. And like, wow, the movie's different.
I think Poltergeist was PG too.
Yeah, it was PG.
It's awesome. Those are the days before PG-13.
Yeah, there's only PG in
the heart. I saw all the Porky's movies. I couldn't have been right, you know, at
those,
that age.
PG?
I remember.
I think we were in high school when those came out, though, weren't we?
I mean,
I was in high school, but still, it's rated R. We weren't 18, 17.
Yeah. Those were big movies when we were in high school.
No, according to you, I'm 50, so I'm a little older.
So you're a little older than me.
I was just a child in diapers. All right, food, anything interesting? We're going to have carne adobada and beans today.
I had shrimp kebab yesterday.
Oh, that sounds good. I could do a poor boy. I like one po' boy.
Yeah, that's it.
I've been making a lot of bruschetta.
I don't even know what that is, but it scares the hell out of me.
Did you say bruschetta?
Yeah, bruschetta. Bruschetta.
See, that terrifies me. I'm not... Every time Bill mentions any kind of food, I'm terrified.
All I was saying is that I think all those characters are going to come at me in my sleep. That's all I'm saying. Like 45 people on that poster.
That's cool, man. It's like, put more in.
They can't fit anymore in the poster. There's no more.
If they advertise it the way that it is, then you should go in with the expectation. There's going to be so many characters. But you've seen all those characters, so you shouldn't be terrified. You've seen all the movies. They keep the continuity of the movies intact. And then loosely couple them with the comic books.
And then, I mean, you can kill off all the black ones in the first 10 minutes.
There's only going to be one. Oh, there's two. There's going to be Storm and Bishop. That's it. Bishop is so dead. He's so dead.
Is it Halle Berry as Storm?
Yeah.
Oh, they got her back.
Yep.
She'll they can't kill her.
Who plays Bishop?
Some black dude.
That guy's dead.
Which is a lot, which is surprising for Hollywood these days. So
Micah's gonna walk out as soon as that. He's gonna be like, "Fuck this!"
If I go to see it,
you will go to see it. If I have to take you at Heroes, you'll go see it.
Isn't it gonna be out of Heroes next year? I don't even know when is it coming out.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'll take you there.
We'll find somewhere it's playing.
There's a movie theater right downtown. So,
yeah. All right, that's been. Geek Brunch episode 187. Remember to get your gas and your prescriptions early in the event of a post-apocalyptic event.
Load up on your vitamin D.
Yeah.
Full up on vitamin D.
Stock up on it. What were you going to say, Micah?
Yeah, you want to make sure that you can get it done early. I had planned on being here by 1:30. I did not plan on people not being able to drive and having some dude argue for half an hour over where the hell his damn prescription was, and it was the wrong prescription. Ugh.
So did that guy ever get a prescription?
Yeah, he did.
At the end of the story.
And didn't pay anything. He just walked out with his pills.
What if he just bought a regular vitamin D and just took 5 of them?
I don't know. I don't think that would... I'm not sure how that would work. Exactly.
I do have one food to mention. I ate like this protein bar that had like a lot of fiber, and it gave me gas like you wouldn't.
That's what it's supposed to do, right?
Well, I didn't realize. Is fiber supposed to give you gas?
It's supposed to help you keep you regular.
I don't think it's supposed to give you gas, though.
These ones, I ate like a cinnamon pecan like health bar, protein bar, and it like just... I can't stop farting when I eat that thing. It takes about an hour to start percolating, and then... Good Lord. The banana nut one was good, too, but it does the same thing to me.
Well, with the fiber bars, I think you should expect that in the future.
Yeah.
I guess now you know. Take one before you start recording. DC noise.
Then I could compete with Keith.
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, no, you would need a lot of fiber. You need to like get some nice leafy greens and just be chopping them down right before the show.
I did want to ask him if he's ever like lit his farts on fire. I think I did.
Do people really do that in real life? Is that a thing that actually
happens? I think Keith has. I've never done it. I'd be too scared.
Yeah, it seems like it's a giant mistake.
I'd be terrified. No, my ass is on fire.
So I'm wondering, are they not going to bring back, what's his name? Kelsey Grammer.
That's the beast.
Yeah, they're not going to bring back Kelsey Grammer. So.
Well, they have that other young guy from the other one.
Well, if they're bringing back doubles of other people, they should bring back doubles of Kelsey Grammer. And that heralded performance is beast.
That was awesome.
They should bring back Cyclops, too. They should bring out more characters.
They have Nightcrawler in there?
I think so.
Maybe not, though. Same guy?
No, I don't see him on the list.
I really like when they introduced Nightcrawler. That was bamf, bamf. That was awesome. Like when he's
classic.
That may have been the best scene in that movie.
It was the best scene because it's the only one I remember. But it was awesome.
But we're done.
Yes. Geek Brunch. Podcast.com. You can reach us at DBM00 on Twitter. He will prepare you for the post-apocalyptic event. You need to tweet him. He'll tell you what to prepare.
If you have questions, ask him about the future.
If you want to ask any questions about Walgreens, you'd reach Micah at @do_what. He could tell you about vitamin D.
And the saddest place on earth.
You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch, and I could tell you about my experience with fiber bars more if you'd like that.
Hey, Beast is that guy from Warm Bodies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, I like that guy.
That was a good movie. I like that movie.
Interesting. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I think I said everything. Facebook. Go to Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button and leave an iTunes review. We're stuck. Come on. Give a review. Tell us that we saved your life in an elevator or that we gave you vitamin D and you helped you with the sun.
And tell us how mature we are.
Yes. I am not mature. I'm the least mature of the three of us. I'll tell you that right now. Mike is the most mature. He's the youngest, and he's probably the most mature.
I don't know.
We go in reverse order.
And Bill's forced into maturity because he has children.
Oh, right.
Not for that.
He has to put his maturity on every now and then, you know. He has to be that role model, that mature.
He has to out-adult his children, at least. As of right now, it's a low bar, but as they get older, they'll have to continue to age up a little bit.
All right. I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks, and you guys have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My favorite song, Across the Universe. La 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 la.
dove filling out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Yeah.